This is PFW in progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in progress with Red Kirsch.
He's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean,
is he all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. It's just not that.
I mean, should we be worried?
No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your Rogaine.
Check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine.
Check. And Andy. And Andy?
Get the part so close?
Yeah, what's wrong?
Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school.
What?
Or a Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure, I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What?
Do what?
Let the dogs out. You know, like, ooh, let the dogs out.
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
All right. Welcome to PFW in progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium. The sun's out.
The guns are out.
Sun's out, guns out. We're all here,
we're
ready to talk about
here.
Everything Patriots for the next 2 hours. As we do every Tuesday and Thursday.
Haven't you learned that the weather in Fred's world is a little different than everybody else's?
At the end of the day.
You can't even tell it snowed anymore.
There's snow piles 35 feet high.
What, are you blind?
We do that every day, every Tuesday and Thursday during the special off-season
special edition.
PFW
Another special
in progress
edition.
Shows. So, guys.
Really tailed off there.
Guys. Brady wins the MVP.
Big surprise.
Not a big surprise.
We were right.
Unanimously. Unanimous, as it should have been.
Unanimous, yeah. First time for that award, that
sort
particular
of. Sort
award.
Sort of, yeah.
Since
because he went 49 out of 50 in 2007.
Caveat?
Well, we also, as Andy was saying, don't know when that started.
No one told me when they started using a nationwide panel, but it's the first unanimous since the AP started using a nationwide panel of football writers.
Okay.
Which,
if
for
that
all
was
I know, last year,
been.
It's not that impressive.
Right. Yeah.
I know
it was,
isn't, but I don't
know. It's
one
of those
exactly.
Weird things that you would think would have been explained a little bit right. More thoroughly.
I think it's one of those things that no one really knows the answer to.
Right.
So that's why no one's explaining it.
So people wrote the only part of the sentence that they knew to be true.
Right.
And it leaves off a very important element.
The
like
vital
Andy says,
element.
Is that, you know, since 1980?
Yeah.
Or since 2002?
Since
2010. Very different connotations. Right.
Well, in any event, congratulations to
unanimous,
him.
Though. Yep,
yeah. Congratulations.
And we were also correct on... Dominican Sue was 48, I believe, out of 50, and
yep.
The only two going to McCourty
yep.
For the defensive rookie
so good,
of the year.
Good for him.
Congratulations to Bill Belichick for Coach of the Year.
We already talked about that.
It is what it is.
Some off-season accolades, which is the cover of the PFW coming
out. How do you feel,
today?
About Vic getting comeback player?
Give it to him.
That was stupid.
Compelling story.
He came back last year.
Stupid.
Not this year.
Well, he wasn't given a chance to come back last year.
Yeah, he was.
Sure
he was. He was tired. He was on the team. He was just slow and out of shape.
Okay, so you guys don't like it.
No.
Terrible.
Not at all.
Embarrassing. This is where I excuse myself from the argument because I don't understand what the award is.
No one does.
Proceed.
LeGarrette Blount, a rookie,
got a
vote for comeback player of the year.
Yeah, he's a rookie.
How can he come back? He's never been.
I don't understand that. Yeah.
Well, he's the kid who punched the guy, got suspended,
right.
The whole turmoil.
At Oregon.
Undrafted, all that.
Right.
When he was in college.
He did
right.
miss his last year of college.
Yeah.
No, I know, but... Mostly. Not all of it.
Right. It's just ridiculous.
All right. Anyway, maybe they should do away with that.
Maybe they should just give it to Brady 2 years in a
it's
row
a
come
joke.
Back player of the year.
Maybe they should change it to...
stupid award goes here.
But they should define what it means.
Well maybe they should have an award that's called Most Compelling Story Award. So whoever's story that year was the most compelling.
But he came back last year.
But it's not a comeback. It's not a comeback award.
It, most compelling
You don't necessarily
story.
Have to come back. Change it to...
He's selling me on it.
Change it to
no,
most
I'm just
compelling
trying to come up
story
with a
award.
Competitor. What would number two be? Like, is Welker still a compelling story?
No, ACL injury.
Well,
no,
but
lots
I think
of guys
it,
have
it, it could be in the year that didn't have a story
right.
like Vic.
Right.
So what would be number two this year? Give me an example.
Another compelling story.
I think Henderson
story.
And Welker would be
But those in the are running injuries. For a compelling
Who
story.
Who else had a compelling story?
Well, so we've eliminated injuries from compelling.
Oh, no, I don't eliminate injuries
Mike
from
Williams
compelling.
Was...
I'm not eliminating him, but
Mike,
other
Mike Williams,
Mike Williams
was
the second. Mike Williams would have been a compelling
Fat boy
story.
Out of football.
He came in second,
even though he said...
In the voting.
Okay. Even though he himself
did?
Said,
yeah, he had, like,
that's ridiculous. What did I come back from, being fat on my couch?
Kevin, my mic sounds
like,
a little low.
Like Saint, well, turn up. Turn
it's
up
actually
your volume.
Hot.
Turn up your volume,
Eric.
Know,
you're
it
hot.
Is. It's at normal.
Like Sam Bradford, even though he got rookie of the year, that's a compelling story. That could be entered into that mix.
What's compelling about it?
Just you know,
the fact that he led
just,
a team.
Just, you know,
but I mean, that's what the rookie of the year award
I'm
was.
I'm quickly
for.
Cutting well, yeah. ties.
Well, rookie of the year.
So
is
now
more,
Brady could win it because I thought it was compelling that he went 11 games without an interception.
Or after changing his offense completely. You know, midstream.
Randy Moss could win it. Deion Branch could win it. It's compelling that he went home again.
You know, a few years ago, the Denver...
Just almost spit. It wasn't even
no,
that...
No, it wasn't Denver.
The Moss. The Moss part was compelling because...
went home for a month and then got canned.
That was compelling.
Like, he's compelling can be bad,
can
it?
Yeah.
You're interested?
Well, you're not... Like, for example... Yeah, like who
Mike
was the
Tyson
coach
was
whose wife
figure.
Died?
Yes.
His wife died in the middle of the season. I think we played them that week. We were in Denver, and
when was this?
You talking about Mike Zimmer?
Yeah, it happened when we were in Denver. His wife died, and he played.
Yeah,
that's
it. Also
but you're
happened,
not gonna,
it also
you're
happened
not give
in 2009.
Yeah, no, I know. I know it wasn't.
It would have been compelling.
He was just making a point about the compelling
yeah.
story,
yeah.
the compelling nature.
You wouldn't give an award for that something like that, even though it is a compelling story. I don't know.
I don't think this is compelling radio, so we should move on.
Maybe this should be just an award, story of the year. What's the story of the year?
Just eliminate.
It's called the Pulitzer.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Yeah. He just got the look.
Anyway. No, he just got the disgusted
look. I feel like
look.
We've hit a wall here. So
yeah, 2 minutes into the show.
So
that's why I said it's not compelling radio.
So let's go back
haven't
to
even mentioned the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl in Dallas and the whole week. And I first of all, I want to say that I think Dallas and the Fort Worth area and Jerry World should get another chance.
I agree.
How about you know, I think that they had a streak of bad luck when it came to that weather. And I think that venue deserves another chance. It's an amazing venue.
I'll give you that, but I still say Arizona needs to get another one, too.
Well,
they need
will.
To be in consideration.
Well,
once they get done with these new stadium paybacks.
You've said that before, and you know I agree with you because I really enjoyed I thought we were treated very well in Arizona. But has there been something that Arizona's not to
no,
be considered
No, I just haven't
again?
Heard their name
They're not
come
on
up.
The
– Well, they're not on the –
The new stadium the, list,
right?
Here,
but there were a
Indy
couple that they had
York
to, you know, when you hold everybody up, and you know, you have to take care of them. That's why Detroit had one. That's why Indy's getting one.
Right.
Once those cycle themselves through,
yeah,
there's been nothing about Arizona officially that's eliminating them from.
No, he's just saying bump
no, but it just
no,
hit
I,
him
no,
in there.
And
boom,
I agree
boom,
with Eric.
It just seems
I
like
think Arizona was a good venue.
It just seems to me like there are a lot of people like Fred who are quick to say we got to give Dallas another chance.
Well, no, only because there's a lot of people who are
because
quick
of the
to
weather
say,
and all that
so
stuff.
Terrible, you know.
It was more than just the weather, though, from what I was reading.
Well, okay, so you had the ice that fell and hit people. Well,
that's what I'm saying. That's weather related.
Then you had the seat snafu before the game, where
that
400
wasn't
people
that
ended
wasn't
up,
weather related.
Not having seats.
That
because
was greed related.
It could be, yeah.
That could be. They were trying to set.
They were trying to set the record.
Well, according even with those seats, I don't think they would have set the record though.
No, they were a couple thousand short.
But now there's a report that NFL knew about this a week before and didn't say anything, or hoping that things would work themselves out. I don't know what they were.
I don't really understand that either. Because what were they magically hoping would?
Yeah,
would
I don't
appear?
Know.
There was
people
also
wouldn't show up.
There was a report that it was just railings.
Right.
If they had put certain railings up, it would have been fine. That the railings
yeah, I,
were.
Left. I don't get how that worked, and how someone's. That's a big time screw up. I guess the people ended up getting, you know, three times the value.
They're getting $2,400. They're getting seats to next year's Super Bowl, and
all their concessions.
All the concessions were paid for.
Souvenirs.
They
right.
were on the field.
They were on the field post game.
They're going to be all right. The people that got affected are going to end up being all right in the long run. But it should never have happened.
No, that's just weird. Jerry Jones said it was everybody's fault.
But I thought Greg Bedard wrote something in his Sunday Notes column in the Globe, just ripping the city and the hosts and everything for not having an army of plows and sanders ready. They should have been prepared for this. And I thought that's ridiculous. You can't cover every possible contingency. That's like, had there been a forest fire, should they have had thousands of fire trucks ready to go or what? I mean, there's things that happen. It's the worst in 20-something years they've had down there. you got screwed, but I just don't know how you can prepare for every possible contingency plan.
Yeah, I'm with Andy for the most part, but I do think they could have handled it better once it happened. I'm not saying that you needed to have 20,000 plows at the ready. Like you say, you know, you can't plan for a situation that you don't have. But
first of all, you got to have 6 billion sandbags. There could be a flood. You got to have 6 billion fire extinguishers. Well, there could be a fire.
That's the part that I agree with you on. You can't be fully prepared for every natural disaster that's possible. But I think that you can handle it. It seems by all accounts from people down there that the course of action was to say, let's hope it melts.
Yeah.
You know, they did nothing. They didn't treat the streets at all. And then 4 or 5 more inches of snow fell on top of the ice, and that just exacerbated the problem. I think they could have handled it a little bit better.
I don't know
than they
what
did.
They could. I mean,
why can't they get plows in?
From where?
It sounded like somewhere. They didn't need plows. They needed sanders.
Right. Well, whatever.
And, you know,
from
but again,
somewhere.
Salt machines. Again, where's the nearest? Yeah. You know, city or municipality that has that
center.
Many.
Right.
And they're down south. I mean, it's not like Texas and Louisiana.
And you got to get the sand or the treated stuff. And I think it's tough to throw that
I
stuff
just think when resources
quickly.
Are, you know, I mean, it's you're dealing with unlimited cash. Find a way.
Yeah.
That's
I'm
all.
Not so sure.
I'm with Andy on the preparation. I think that, and I read the same piece that he's talking about after he told me about it yesterday. Ridiculous. You can't just sit there and say, well, geez, New Orleans should have been more prepared for Katrina.
Right.
I mean, you can't do that. You can't. You can't just be prepared for everything that's a possibility at all times.
That's why there are natural disasters. Right. Otherwise, there wouldn't
and
be.
And we all experience it on our own. Eric, your roof leaked. Mm-hmm. Well, that's your fault. You should have been prepared. You should have had a contingency plan. It should never leak.
Right.
I mean, it happens. You deal with it. That's why the insurances exist and things like this happen.
Right. Anyway, so I think they should get another shot.
So let's get to the important stuff.
And then the game
the Brooklyn
itself.
Brooklyn Decker commercial.
Oh.
In slow motion, rewound back and forth with her boobs jiggling.
Well, that's I could always eat your salad.
Even my wife commented, she has nice breasts.
The game itself, the good guys won. I think we're all happy about that, except for Andy,
who was wrong on so many levels.
My Steelers jersey off when Mendenhall fumbled.
Well, it was coming.
No, it wasn't. You know what was coming? His MVP trophy, as he had a great
Mendenhall
run into the end zone
ridiculous.
For the touchdown. I'm thinking, okay, he's
Mendenhall
hot in the second
is
half.
Ridiculous.
He's going to win the MVP in this comeback.
Did you really wear a Mendenhall jersey?
Oh yeah. I was sick of it because it sucked.
Our great listeners bought me a Mendenhall jersey. If I'm not going to wear it when he's in the Super Bowl, when am I going
to
wear it?
Well, I think that
you wore it to my party.
I think most
Fred's party, one
people
of the
who
party,
are
yeah.
Patriots fans were happy the Green Bay Packers won.
Mm-hmm.
You weirdos.
80-something%.
Although
I think
the criticism of Roethlisberger is just over the top. You know, and now
it started with him.
He's just a bum now.
Same thing happened to Peyton Manning. Last
you know,
year.
I'm no fan of Roethlisberger, and. That's unfair.
Yeah,
because I mean, he has proven that
he's not the same kind of player
that Brady or Manning is. Yeah. But he didn't have a bad game. But you know, without him, they're not near there.
And certainly without him, they don't get back in the game the way they did. Now you can make an argument it was because of him that they were behind.
But even the one interception, I mean, I think that happens to a lot of quarterbacks.
Totally
you get
not
hit
his fault.
As you throw.
Right.
That all ends up. That's exactly what happened
and
to Peyton Manning on this field.
The first one was definitely not his fault. The second one, he forced in there. I actually think the ball went right through his receiver's hands to the defender, but not a good decision. It was too tightly
covered. That one right there.
Yeah, I think this ball should have been caught by Wallace.
So, you know.
But he didn't play well. He wasn't as effective. But the other part about it is I just think Green Bay was better. Green Bay was a better team, I thought, on all facets of the game.
I've always wanted to be a Packer.
But they did let the Steelers get the momentum back
in the game. And that's why I said, to your point, Eric, about Roethlisberger, they wouldn't have been there without him. They don't get back in the game without him. He got hot in the second half.
Mm.
He made some throws. As Andy said, Mendenhall started making some runs.
Yep.
They had a good balance going. They had a good mix. And Green Bay looked like they
started feeling
the moment a little bit. Coming out of the locker room with that big lead, I think they kind of thought, wow, we're 30 minutes away here. And they played like they were saying, hurry up, clock. And then
weren't some people blaming that on Charles Woodson? Gave a teary-eyed
halftime talk.
Well, he started to give a talk, and he couldn't finish because he got too emotional.
All the players were saying how inspirational it was, so I don't know if it maybe affected them negatively. Who knows?
But with Charles Woodson out, I was getting nervous. I figured, okay.
Oh, Woodson went out, then Shields went out, and then...
That's the one thing Jerry got to drive out was his walkway through the restaurant to the locker room.
Yeah.
That every was 2 minutes they were showing that. That
was amazing how many
players... That's a long walk.
Yes, it is.
Very long walk.
Right, because they went back, they showed a play, they went to the sideline, then they went back, and he was still running to the locker room.
I thought it was amazing how many players left that game on both sides.
Yeah.
You know, Flozell Adams ended up coming back in the game, but he got hurt.
I blame
Emmanuel Sanders left the game. He never came back. Driver never came back. Woodson never came back. Shields did come back.
Didn't the turf look different in some areas?
That was another shadings and different, like you could see the seam.
Textures and seam. And,
yeah, that was another criticism that the field was inconsistent and slippery in spots. And you know,
but that could have been weather-related, too. I mean,
it could have
if they're dealing with moistures and temperature changes that they're not used to.
That's right.
That the stadium may not be engineered
for. A big building like that doesn't adjust quickly enough, and
the
builds
system,
up condensation,
the AC, the ventilation might not have been quite
absolutely. I mean that, you know.
Yeah, look on the overhead here. Oh, they just
you know,
you can't really
buildings
see it there,
and houses down there are
nobody
not,
can see.
No,
it.
Nobody. I'm talking to you though.
Radio.
You know, buildings and houses down there aren't built the same way as they are in New England.
Well, they should be, according to Greg Bedard.
Boy, he really does. He gets one stuck in his.
It's those flat roofs that just collapse with all the weight.
Right, that's happened enough around here.
So, I mean, it was a competitive game toward the end.
But not a great football
competitive,
game.
But not good.
And according to the NFL, the most watched Super Bowl
ever. No, according to Nielsen.
Show.
According to Nielsen,
and
the most watched TV show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
surpassing
last
year's Super Bowl.
Which surpassed the previous one.
So
there
my son goes.
Three straight here, I believe.
My son says, really?
Nash, I think, is still third.
He said, the game sucked.
Stacey was wrong with the tweet.
He might have been.
He was,
he said what?
He was surprised that it was the most watched. He said, the game sucked. My son.
Well, I don't think it was very well played, but it was compelling, to use your word of the day, because it ended up being close.
And you don't know it sucks until you're watching it, so they already got you by the cojones.
Exactly.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is I wonder how do you get considered having watched it?
Yeah,
you know, because I think there are so many.
They always say
and
average.
Stuff.
It averaged 116 million.
You know, because I always look at it as like so many people watch it together now. You know, I had 25 people in my house watching it, you know, so I didn't have. Potentially, you know, 10 or 12 TVs would have been on had everybody been home, you know, watching the game.
But
it was only one TV.
People, right? Not the counting the number
but
of faces.
How? Like how they
well,
do that.
Well, yeah, they
wondering.
Have a formula.
Well, it's all flawed.
They have a formula.
But they use the same formula every
year,
theoretically.
It's an estimate.
Oh, yeah. No, it's the most
The reason
watched.
It goes up is because there's more people, right?
This is one of those
less
NFL
people are dying
thing
and
that
more people are being born every year. So
the Pro Bowl one,
more people get to 18 and
one at a time.
Sorry.
Right, we're just going to get you like a ruler.
Well, I already said what I was going to say, so re-say it.
Best commercial?
Brooklyn Decker. By far.
No, I don't think so.
Well, that's a movie trailer.
It moved.
But you mean like an actual...
Yeah, best commercial.
I like the little Darth Vader.
You like the Darth Vader.
Yeah.
That's become now the most watched.
Doritos finger
I guess before, you know, they released the whole thing online, and I guess about 14 million people watched it even
before
the Super Bowl.
Before it aired?
Yeah, and now, you know, the number's astronomical. I like that one, too. I thought that was cute.
You would.
You know, the one that surprised me was the Doritos one with the
fan. That was the best one,
I didn't
one,
see
I
that one.
Yeah. And I like the Epic Journey one. I forget which car it was, but went through all these different science fiction type things that ended up in the Mayan civilization.
Yeah, I caught the end of that one, so I didn't see that. The other one, there was a Pepsi commercial where there was a guy and a girl on a date, and you were hearing what each one was thinking, and the girl was thinking all these different things, and the guy was thinking, I want to sleep with her, I want to sleep with her, I want to sleep. And then they bring a Pepsi, and she says something like, no way, and he's like, wait, which one?
Yeah, right. That was
okay. Pepsis were good, I thought. In general, the one where the woman was keeping the husband on a diet and then ended up throwing something at him, he ducks and it hits the hot blonde, and that was a funny commercial. I thought Pepsi, but it was weird because both, I don't know if they pay more, but early on it felt like it was just Doritos and Pepsi alternating. It felt like those Pepsi Max commercials, there was like five in the first quarter, and Doritos there was like
four. Yeah, they dominated the first half in Bud Light.
Do they pay more for that? Is that to get them out of the way?
I don't know.
I think I'm not sure if you can request.
Well,
based on when you buy it, like if you're the first one to buy it,
the kickoff is expensive.
Right.
The first one after the halftime is expensive.
But I also think you would have some pull if you say, I'm buying six spots.
I
think Bud Light. I'm paying six spots.
I think you do.
I want to get to pick when a couple of those are.
I think you do.
I'm sure first in, you know, gets, you know, that incent people to get their orders in early.
Yeah, there is, because if you wait till the last second and say, oh, I want to buy a Super Bowl ad,
mostly everything's
right.
full, and you have
and
to.
If you only buy one,
you know,
if you're Pepsi and you buy six, and you're Bud Light and you buy five,
they'll accommodate you,
rather than just you know.
Well, I thought it was interesting. Last year, Pepsi opted out; they didn't have any ads. They went all social media,
right.
And this year they're back in. So people
Which
are saying,
means...
you know, it shows that social media is not, it doesn't, you know, replace it.
Right.
It's just an adjunct to it.
My guess is some number went down for Pepsi that they didn't like, some percentage point of something.
Yeah.
And they said, we got to get back in.
I thought the Coke commercials were kind of lame.
I thought Coke sucked. I thought Budweiser, Bud, took a step back. I didn't think they're all their Clydesdales and Westerns.
Yeah, the guy villain walking into the bar and then singing Tiny Dancer was
weird.
Because they usually have some Clydesdale Dalmatian that's usually kind of cute, funny. So I didn't.
Yeah. There was one Coke ad that was pretty good with the two sentries in the middle of the desert.
Yeah, that was okay.
Yeah. It was okay. Yeah. It wasn't great, but.
It's too much of this Coke is happiness thing, though. You know.
That's their thing.
Yeah.
They weren't necessarily...
A lot of good movies coming out, though, that I'm interested in.
Thor?
Action
you want to see
movies.
Thor?
A lot of movies coming out.
Yeah.
I'm not sure they're all good.
Action movies.
Not necessarily product-related, but I thought the... I think it was an NFL-related commercial about just being a fan for all the old sitcoms.
That I like.
Was ridiculously well-done and clever.
Yes.
They even got South Park in there.
Yeah, they put the jerseys on the
Happy
on
Days,
the people.
Brady
yeah, yeah.
Bunch, Seinfeld,
yes, that
South
was a
Park.
Good,
really
that was
clever.
Good.
You know, all the old
good.
Sitcoms, and they showing them all talking about the game.
Norm from Cheers walks in with a Welker jersey.
Yeah.
And you wonder how much they had to pay each
to
of
get
those,
all those
to get the rights.
Clips.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was really, really good. And, again, not... I don't know if you guys noticed this. It might have been after the game. If it wasn't after the game, it was very late in the game. There was an ad for House, the TV show.
Oh,
yes.
Through the cane?
Oh, yes.
And it hit the kid?
Hilarious.
The Mean Joe Green spot.
The whole time I was like, this is stupid.
Oh, you didn't get the Mean Joe Green thing?
No. I knew exactly what they were doing.
Oh, okay.
Until he throws the cane off the guy's head. And I started laughing. I'm like, oh, that's great. I thought it was just going to be... He throws the cane to him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is so lame. And then he's like, oh, I thought you had that.
I did like Roseanne Barr getting hit by the big log. That,
that was good, too.
That was really good. John writes in, Boomer Esiason said on the Dennis and Callahan show that it was singularly the worst managed Super Bowl by a host city that he had ever been a part of. So Boomer Esiason didn't like it.
Hmm. But is he – I mean, would people have thought differently if the weather wasn't an issue? My guess is they would have thought differently.
I want to know how much was weather-related. Seems like they had a lot of stuff that... Because they had some gates closed because there was still ice on some portions of the building. And
I did hear Boomer talking about saying how the ticket stuff was just part of the problem. There was just no signage. There was no one knew. There was people that just didn't know where they were supposed to be outside of the stadium on game day and that kind of stuff. But... I think that around the stadium on game day, to me, is a I can't think of a word that doesn't swear.
Cluster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why
I make us get there early.
Blank show.
We avoid that.
Every Super Bowl we get, but even
no,
when
we don't.
Yeah.
Yes,
you
we
once
do.
Yelled, shut the bleep up to somebody because we didn't
avoid
that.
That was the day before, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, that was media
day. That was
media
day.
It's still a lack of signage and
it's, you know, it's better to be there and waiting than to be outside.
Says the guy who
waiting.
Sits in the press box.
Either
when it was
way,
32 degrees in the stands in Jacksonville and I was Did you swear?
I said for God's sake.
Oh. And I was contemplating buying like a $150 Super Bowl sweatshirt to stay warm. It wasn't good to be there early.
Oh, you and Andy Rooney? You and an 80-year-old.
No, in Houston.
He was okay.
Houston Andy Rooney was near me. I'm not sure he sat with me in Jacksonville.
Yeah, they were in everything was indoor, but he was in one of those boxes with all the celebrities.
they were indoors in Dallas.
Yeah. How about A-Rod? Poor A-Rod. They show him for 2 seconds and he's being,
with a gross woman. Weird.
Well, I mean, I don't care who he's with, but he's getting made
fun of
because she's feeding him food.
People wouldn't be making fun of him if Brooklyn Decker
was
feeding him
food.
People
make fun of Brady when he was getting fed by his wife.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, and if Brooklyn Decker was feeding him the food, no one would be making fun of either of them.
I would be.
All right, so we got the Super Bowl to talk about. Obviously, the Patriots to talk about. A lot of CBA talk. Robert Kraft was down there, and he was interviewed on EEI, but also very quickly by NFL Network, which went viral on Patriots.com. And I thought
What went viral?
I thought he encapsulated. I thought he said it perfectly because what I saw from him when he said that
spread
was
throughout the net.
Yeah, but how many hits you need before you're viral?
Millions.
You need millions?
Yeah.
Millions of hits on that on Patriots?
I'm just kidding.
No, not at all. Not even close.
But I think that he had the perfect mixture of frustration, common sense, and anger when he was talking about, let's just sit down and
do this.
I liked
the anger.
You know?
He was in don't F with me mode. Like,
yeah.
Get the bleep together.
Let's just
I like
get the lawyers out, get the business
Kraft
people
and
sitting
Mayo
down.
Go together.
You know, then once we figure out the terms, the lawyers can massage it. But let's just get this hammered out. And I think he thinks honestly that they're pretty close, that they're not that far apart. And you know, the more I think about it, I know you guys are gonna make fun of me because you're gonna, well, of course you're coming down the side of ownership. But I was really giving a lot of thought to this whole why don't they open the books thing. And it makes sense. You know,
what makes sense? Not to?
No. It makes sense from looking at it from afar. Well, why don't they open the books? You know, if they really believe and can prove that they're, you know, down the road they're going to be losing money, open the books and show them. But here's the problem with that. All the revenue that they need to see to make a decision is out there. All the shared revenue, all this stuff is out there on which they're making their decision on. The books that they're talking about, the union, is the personal finances of each team.
Right.
And each team's finances are completely different. You know, completely different. The way the Patriots do their business, apart from the shared revenue, is completely different from where the Browns do it and the Cowboys do it.
Well, but that's the whole point, Fred, is that the league is saying, well, we're giving you Green Bay as an example because Green Bay is the only publicly traded team.
Right.
So their books have to be made public. And they're saying,
it's not just Green Bay, though.
Look, Green Bay has lost money during this last CBA from like $34 million in profit to like $9 million, whatever.
Right.
It could be different for other teams who are making significantly more or not losing as much.
Well, I think the union can look at two to three other teams. They're allowed to look at two to three other teams. So they do get a sampling. It's just that they can't look at every team. But and I know what you're saying, but here's the thing. You know, there's a lot of stuff that on each team. Let's take the Patriots, for example. You know, we have a marketing department. You know, a lot of those people in the marketing department don't just work on the Patriots. They do stuff for the Revs. They do stuff for the stadium as a whole, you know, that maybe other teams don't have. So now we're opening the books, and, you know, they're looking at how much we pay our marketing director, how much we pay, you know, one of the Kraft sons, for example.
Well, but are they really looking at that, or are they looking at the bottom line and saying you're making money or you're not?
But that stuff is out there now, and I think these owners feel that part of the business is private. I'm a private business owner when it comes to that type of stuff, and the union doesn't need to see any of that in order to understand what we're talking about, because it's not relative to that. It has no impact on the shared revenues and doesn't take anything away from the players. It doesn't add anything to the players.
But then the owners shouldn't come out and say, they shouldn't come out and cry poor mouth if they're not willing to back it up.
Well, based on the standards across the league, they feel they have and they can prove that.
But is that just an issue with do other owners see the books of other teams?
No.
See, I think that's an issue.
But here's what happens.
A lot of the owners don't want the other owners seeing
what
they're doing.
No, but they
don't. 100% of the reason why they don't want anybody
to see it. No, but listen, they don't actually see them, but every team is audited every year by an independent audit firm. I think in our case, it's, I forget the name of the company.
They sit in an office near me.
Yeah, exactly. And those audit companies see those books.
No, I know.
But they don't disclose what they saw.
So Mike Brown doesn't see Robert Kraft's, and Robert Kraft's doesn't see Mike Brown's.
But
if it's out there, if the players get it, it means the other owners will see it, and I don't think they want other owners knowing what's going on.
They don't know.
Both ends of the spectrum, the cheap ones and the rich ones.
I agree with that, but it's hard for a team to get away with a lot of shenanigans because of that independent audit. And that independent audit does look into those books.
But I'm not necessarily saying shenanigans. I'm saying, like stuff you said, what owners' kids are making and different things. I don't think other owners want all that knowledge out
there. I'll give you another example. When a team, Green Bay this year, Pittsburgh this year, when you go to the Super Bowl, okay, nowadays, it is a boondoggle, okay? There's a lot of added cost to each team, flying the teams down there and all that stuff, but they make a ton of money on these sponsor trips, on other types of trips, on it's a boondoggle.
Right, because the revenue, I believe, is split. Like the ticket sales and all that stuff for the Super Bowl is actually split among all 32.
Yeah, it's not even just ticket sales. It's these packages that they sell.
We had a bunch of people go down even though we weren't in it.
Yeah. So I think in that case we pay for, but they sell, they, you know, the smart teams are able to market and sell these big packages, and they make a ton of money. Even though it's a lot of work and a lot of cost, they end up making a ton of money. Now, not every team does that right. That goes to the Super Bowl. Some do it better than others.
And to Andy's point, I don't think the ones that are smart want the ones that are dumb to know about it.
Right. It's their they feel that's my private business. It's not going to affect the CBA or the salary cap one bit, one iota.
But I'm saying between owners. I think it's an issue equally as much, if not more, that the owners don't want their books open to other owners.
Yes. This is as much between Jerry Jones and Mike Brown as it is between owner and player.
And you're probably right. But the owner's argument to the union is, so what? It doesn't affect what we're doing, okay? We might have our own squabbles between owners where we don't want other owners seeing our books.
It just seems like one side is saying, look, we're in trouble. Trust us. But they're not willing to prove that they're in trouble.
No, but they can prove it with all the revenues that are relevant to the argument.
But the information that they choose to show them, we can prove it.
But
that's like me just showing you my mortgage and saying it's really expensive. I need help. But I don't show you my freelance work that helped, whatever.
But that is relevant. That is relevant.
And my guess is there's some relevant things that the owners are saying, it's not relevant.
Yeah.
You don't worry about it.
Well, I just think that, you know, they have what is relevant and what they feel is their private business. And like I said, every owner runs their business a little differently. I'm sure as much as people equate the Krafts and the Joneses, I'm sure they run their businesses a lot differently. You know, for example, I think the Cowboys probably spend a lot more money on their cheerleaders, for example, than the Patriots. And I think the cheerleaders bring in a lot more revenue for the Cowboys than the Patriots. That's not part of the CBA, and it's not part of shared revenue. It's completely separate.
No, but the owners are using the argument that they're not making as much money, so they need more.
That's not the only argument, Eric.
I didn't say it's the only one, but I'm saying they're making that argument.
But the bigger part of it.
And so the other side is saying, well, prove it.
Look, yeah, that's part of it. But the other part of it is they feel that they're going to have to invest more down the road.
But that's where Eric's right. The owners at times seem like they want to consider the players partners. We're partners in the big deal here. And if we have to invest in stadiums, you should have to invest in stadiums or whatever.
In order to grow that pie,
are we partners and are we opening our books or are we not partners?
Right.
Pick and choose. Because if we're just salaried paid employees that show up and play games, then we're going to stick with the deal we got. Now, if you want us to be partners,
let us know what,
know what our partnership entails.
But I think that we need to discern between the books as they are relevant to this and the books of the private business. And I think they're two separate sets of books.
I think the owners think they are.
Well,
I'm not sure they are.
In fact, they are. Now, whether they should be or not is another question. But
when the owners say we're not making as much money, they're not differentiating between the private and the public. They're just saying we're not making enough money.
Right. That's right.
They're not differentiating.
Based on the revenues that we've all agreed upon as, you know, what are included, we're not making as much money. And we won't in the future because of these investments we're going to have to make. Now, you know, that's the argument.
Let me ask you this. Do you think the players should be, the players would be within their rights to consider anything that the owners make that's football related? Like, I'm not saying that Kraft's paper business should be included. Anything that he makes as a result of being the owner of the New England Patriots and being a member of the National Football League, whether that's part of the pie or not, should be considered revenue.
I think the players would love that, but at what point, though, does an
owner... No, but do you think the players would be right to... Like, you say, like, all these different things that they make that's not part of the... Yeah, it's not part of it. It's not part... But isn't that money that they're making? So when they're crying poor mouth...
Right,
that should be included.
Right,
listen, maybe your profits went from 98% down to 95% because of that CBA deal, but you're still making all that other money that isn't part of our gross revenue.
Right.
that we're entitled to.
Right.
But you're still making it, and you're making it because of us.
Well,
that's what the players would argue.
Well, those owners would argue, you know, look, we already share most of our revenues with all the other teams and with the players. Players get 59%, and we have to share the rest, you know, with all the other teams. can I keep something for myself because I'm working a little extra hard, because I'm a little smarter?
No. Yes, you can. I'm not suggesting that the players should be entitled to a piece of, to use your example, the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders thing.
Right.
The Cowboys players shouldn't be entitled to that, although there would be no revenue without the players. I don't care about the – they wouldn't just have a cheerleader squad that earns strippers money.
Yep.
Right. Okay?
No offense to any cheerleaders.
I can understand that they shouldn't be entitled to that in, you know, other sort of kind of marketing strategies and whatnot that aren't part of the gross revenue. I'm fine with. But that – if you open the books and you show the players what you're making, all of that should be there to prove, for the players' point, no one's going broke here.
Right.
So to exclude the stuff that the players don't have access to or aren't entitled to me is wrong. And I would understand the players. I'm not saying the players should get a piece of
that. They should just know about it.
But they should know about it. They should be aware of it, and that should count when the owners are trying to tell you that they're losing money.
But see, my point is, this. Let's go back to the audit. The players and the other owners know the Patriots' bottom line, including those revenues that aren't included in the CBA. They just don't know the details. They know,
where's the devil?
At the end of the day, how much Jerry Jones has made, you know, how much Robert Kraft has made. They just don't know how they did it. They don't know they don't know the line by line stuff. So, to Paul's point, they do know. It is true, no one's going broke. You know, they're just making less. They don't know why. You know, the Patriots made $50 million in marketing revenue, you know, or what the details of that. They just know that they did, you know.
So if they know that, why are they saying they don't know that?
They want to know, they want to prove those numbers, you know. They want to know the details. Could more be made? You know, like, for example, they sued the owners, a month ago because they said they could have made more with the network deal. They got another $9 billion to extend it. They could have made more, but they decided, let's just get this deal done and let's get, you know, for the insurance. And they lost that suit. They're thinking the same thing with everything. What are they holding back? What could they be doing that they're not doing? What should they be sharing that they're not sharing? What's in those books that we see the bottom line, but what makes up that bottom line that should be shared revenue that's not being shared?
And I think that's a fair question to ask. If the owners are asking you to give back, it went too far, well, are you maximizing it first? That's my first question before I start giving back. Are you maximizing on your end?
Right, and the owners are saying, look, we've come up with the baseline for what's shared. Why are you trying to go after all the stuff that I've created on my own since we've created that baseline?
Well, if I'm a player, I'd say we created the baseline of a deal. You know, we've had a deal in place that the baseline was created.
Yeah,
if we want to talk about baseline,
and that's their main point is, look, we were happy to.
But I
play
think Eric's point is the best one, the partnership thing. Yeah. It seems like at times the owners kind of consider the players partners in this great league of ours, and then at other times, owners own and renters rent, and we're owners and you're renters. Don't forget it. Mm-hmm. It's like that differentiation because, I mean, does a movie star who's making $20 million a movie? He makes his $20 million. Now they have incentives. You know, if he gets a tenth of a percent of global profits, whatever.
Right.
But when the movie tanks,
stuff,
when it's a $300 million blockbuster that makes $10 million, he still gets his $20 million.
He still wants his $20 million.
He's
still
not a partner in the studio.
Exactly.
So, are the players just like actors? Are they just hired salaried talent of the product, or are they partners in the league and we're in this together for the long term? That I think that's kind of an issue, a philosophical issue that needs to be decided.
All right.
The one thing I didn't really like, the whole lawyer thing. Let's get the lawyers out. Well,
hey, lawyer.
That was a shot at that was a shot at D. Smith, right? Because of what Fred just said about the lawsuits and whatnot.
I mean, he's a lawyer.
But to me, are you saying to get the owners going out this, get Pash, that Jeff Pash guy out of there? He's a lawyer. Let's face it. Everybody's represented by counsel here, so I thought that was a shot at D. Smith.
I'm no
big fan of D. Smith. I'm not trying to defend him because I do think he is sort of exacerbating the problem.
Yeah, when you use terms like war to describe negotiations,
good example.
You're bringing it on yourself.
Yeah, that's a good example. I'll tell you what the players are doing because I think generally in these kinds of situations, the players take the heat because people look at them as spoiled athletes that are making all this money to play a game. But I do think it's been pretty fair and balanced so far. People are looking at it and saying how it's a lockout. The players would play. The players aren't striking. The players are doing what they want to do, but the owners don't want to keep the CBA. But I think what the players are setting themselves up for now, in Demoris Smith specifically, is they're you know, using terms like Eric just said, the war term. I think they're making themselves look bad. I think that their representation is doing no favors to the players.
Well, I think that if there's an interruption in service, I think fans will be pissed at both sides. I don't think they're going to care. They're just going to be like, these guys are idiots, all of them.
And they should be. Yeah. Exactly.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I promise we're going to talk not just about the CBA, but about everything. So we'll be right back.
This is Rich Eisen of NFL Network. Where do I go when I want my latest fresh, hot Patriots information? I go to PFW in Progress.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Browns! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
When Andy and Tom left for the combine, they begged Paul to host the show.
Do it! Do it!
I guess peer pressure paid off.
I'm gonna!
Patriots.com Radio.
Well, yeah, he did the research yesterday. His father made fun of him, called him a dude.
I agree with him. He did it instead of watching.
So speaking of picks, need to do ours. Packers.
By the way,
all your
mics are on.
If the number
this
was 45, I would take the over.
Were.
I think the Packers will score 30.
So, Green Bay by 2.5 is the line.
Yeah, we got that.
All right.
Over under.
Well, you said to go get the line.
Over under. Wanted the over under. We said
playing that Belichick clip really threw him off.
I told you.
Yeah, they had to do something.
You asked way too much of him.
I think the Green Bay Packers
are going to save all the New England fans
understands the worry of Ben Roethlisberger getting his, and I think Aaron Rodgers, I think he'll make enough plays. According to Kevin, 44 is the number. So
Fofo,
the over under number.
Obo. Wasn't a bad pick.
And I'll take the over on that too. I think Green Bay will score more points. I think they'll get in the 30 range. Pittsburgh will make it close, keep it in the low to mid 20s. But I think Aaron Rodgers and his so-called inexperienced in the Super Bowl Packers are going to have themselves a good day, and James Starks might get a few carries and make a difference, and Packers will win.
I agree with Andy's point about what was the point you made?
he's not laughing.
I don't know why he's not laughing. I think Green Bay will win the game. I don't think it'll be easy because I think Roethlisberger will make some plays in this game too. I think that Green Bay wins 27-21.
Yeah, I'm going with Green Bay too. I think somebody tweeted out a score yesterday, 34-24, and I remember saying,
that's about right.
So I'll go with that. 34-24 Packers.
30-24.
34-24.
I'm going
30-24.
If
somebody asked you,
speak until you're spoken to.
If the points go down a little bit,
you got a feeling. I just got a feeling.
So
you're picking with all of us, though.
If the game goes under, I think the Steelers will win.
Okay.
I would agree.
I don't think it'll go under, though.
It's an astute observation.
Green Bay will find out.
30-24. It's an astute observation.
Will find.
What a loser.
So now I know why Kevin spent half a day creating that bit.
Spent like 10 minutes.
He finally got
covered in sawdust.
He got a spread right, so he's...
It's all right with me. I got the spread right, too. 27-21 at 6.
It's all that counts.
It's all right? That counts. He was closer. Cause
no, it was pretty...
30-24, he was 1 point off each way.
But I just remember seeing the end score and remembering back to all your picks. And
yeah,
everybody
yeah, no,
was
I'm
pretty
sure
close.
You remember back to all the picks and well, not just your own.
No, I...
You ego
I kind of... No, I went with you guys for once.
Yeah, I'm glad. It draws... Ron Jaworski picked the Steelers.
Jaws.
So I was glad he was wrong because he picked... against us, against the Jets. So I'm glad
Jaws.
He's wrong
because Jaws
right that day.
Well, yeah, right, and if he's right again,
I
you
think
know,
there was a mistake on that pick,
Green
by the way, because after I heard that radio interview with Schefter, we went back. Andy and I went back and looked at the website, and it had Jaws down as having picked the Patriots in that game. So they were wondering if there was a snafu with his pick. He claims to have never picked the Jets in that game.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
But he certainly was credited, I guess, in quotes.
Yeah, but well, I was credited as picking a 6-10 season. I never did.
Well, he certainly picked the Steelers.
You're credited with something doesn't mean it's true.
Listen, we all know that 2 out of every 9 years, you get it exactly right.
Yeah.
I picked the Packers.
They had about a dozen people on ESPN picking, and only two picked the Steelers. Everybody else picked Green Bay.
Green Bay was the better all-around team.
Tom Jackson picked Green Bay, but I knew he was trying to use the force to make the Steelers win.
To start the car.
Yeah, I don't know if it was because everybody wanted the Packers to win around here, but I didn't see too many people that thought Pittsburgh would win.
No.
Now, the Herald and their experts, almost all of them picked Pittsburgh. I think Karen.
Really?
Karen Grigian, Ron Borges. Steve
think,
Buckley.
What's his name?
And then,
he's the only one to pick the Packers.
Borges was wrong.
Meehan picked the Packers.
Mm. Yeah.
Let's see. John in South Carolina writes in. He says, hey,
I just
guys.
Named
in
five the... guys who picked the Steelers. He goes, Borges was wrong.
guys and guy behind the glass, I don't find it compelling if someone overcomes their own stupidity in the case of Vic. The big deal about Vic is he did not suck like everyone expected. So let's call it the Overcoming Your Past History of Failure Award.
But it's 2 years after he came back. History, that's the thing we have a problem with.
History of failure is...
If he had done all this last year, you can make a legitimate argument. He got out of prison.
Well, you're making a rule that the comeback has to immediately follow the reason why you needed
to come
back.
But I agree with Eric on that.
Because then why didn't Brady win it this year? He was better this year than last year, and he's 2 years removed from coming back from the ACL injury.
My point, I don't think that Vic had the opportunity to come back last year.
Why? He played.
Why not? He played.
Not really.
He didn't play as much as he did this year, but
had
he
been productive when he played, he probably would have played more.
Besides,
that's a dumb coach.
Let's face it, in retrospect, we know that Andy Reid was dying to get McNabb off the field last year.
Besides, Fred.
Because he then traded him.
Every other award is for performance that season. Coach of the year, MVP, rookie, everything is that season. They're seasonal awards.
Right.
I think Eric's having a strong, strong show today.
I think he's batting you around a little bit, maybe for the first time ever.
Well, I mean,
And you have no response, clearly.
I'm kind of ambivalent about the whole thing.
And in retrospect, I agree with his comeback. Let's just recap for a second. We agree with his comeback of the year stance. We agree with his Arizona stance for the Super Bowl. And we agree with his...
labor issues.
The way you
couched
you
it?
Articulated the point of the partnership.
Best show ever for Eric.
So could this is a strong show for you? This is the show that you should put on a demo reel, and maybe you'll get on the radio with me and Andy.
You had to ruin it, Paul.
Just jinxed it.
Russ in England
says... So, Kevin,
says,
can you record this show afterwards for me?
Russ in England says five words...
Leave out that part, though.
Yeah, leave that part out.
Russ in England says 5 words about the Super Bowl, 10 minutes talking about the weather, 20 minutes talking about advertisements, and then Fred says, a lot of movies I'm looking forward to, as though searching for something to say. It's definitely the offseason.
It is.
So my question, are there actually any good college outside linebacker pass rushers, or are they all 4-3 defensive ends who convert to outside linebacker? Also, I watched some film on Andy's boy Quinny and wasn't overwhelmed.
Teams don't seem to
run away from him a bit. Wasn't Quinny a defensive end?
Yes.
Yeah, he was. Supposedly the Von Miller kid from Texas A&M.
He's a pure outside linebacker.
Yep. Has kid the numbers, Georgia. The measurables. So there are a couple so far. We're just getting started on all this stuff.
But there are plenty.
As a matter of fact, we just signed our agreement to get all the tapes.
We did?
Yep.
Yeah.
So we'll get all that actually quicker than we've ever gotten them.
We're going to get them very soon, Andy. Very, very soon.
No, I know. I talked to Bilo about it. I'm intrigued, you know, if it all works out.
We're going to have to work on the Big Ten guys. They're not included. So we're going to have to figure
They're limited out. On the Big Ten for some reason.
There's no talent there anyway.
Well, there really isn't. Except for Ohio State.
O-lineman, maybe.
I would be interested if anybody watched the All-Star Skills Challenge or whatever it was dubbed on ESPN with the college prospects. I caught some of that and some interesting guys on there. The quarterbacks were throwing. My guy Todman was on there. I really liked the Pettis kid, out of Boise State.
Austin, I think, Pettis.
Kind of fell in love with him the way I fell in love with Chad Jackson. Tremendous in the jugs drill with the hands, just strong,
hands. You opened us up to now get killed now.
Well, it happens. Bill picked him. I didn't pick him, so he liked him, too.
Well, we loved him.
Yeah, well, you know who else I love? All the guys that are successful in the league now.
Yourself?
But I'd be wondering if anybody watched that and had some early, because Kerrigan was there. Didn't love it. Sam Acho, the kid out of
God
Texas. He's a defensive end, in my opinion. There's some talk of him being a conversion guy. I don't think he has the feet and athleticism. But that's some of the things you can see in those drills when they're, you know, doing the rope drill. And, you know, that you can see if a guy is really athletic, kind of fat. So I'd be interested to see what fans thought of that if they watched it.
Giovanni from Chandler, Arizona writes in. He says, Paul, Fred, Andy, Eric, Andy, Kevin, and Andy. Has the snow melted yet or not? Not really.
I am the show.
As for the Super Bowl, it wasn't that bad of a game, although it wasn't as exciting as maybe the Patriots-Panthers or Cardinals-Packers games coming down to a 2 or 3 points at the end. I thought of Andy as soon as Mendenhall fumbled. Was it just me?
Why didn't you think of Andy as soon as he had a great touchdown run on the biggest stage? Okay.
I thought we did too, Andy. You were on my mind all day.
Anytime Mendenhall got the ball, I was thinking he's
Mendenhall
going crazy and wearing
ridiculous.
His jersey.
And on the other side, I thought Starks ran the ball well. He just didn't really have many carries. He didn't have that many carries.
Neither one of them got any carries. I mean, he got 9 carries and Mendenhall got 12, right?
Tremendous.
Something like
13, maybe 13.
Because if you listen to all the analysts, Paul, Aaron Rodgers had the best performance of any quarterback in the history of the game.
Overrated.
Talk about pumping the brakes a little bit. I thought he played extremely well, and he should have had even better numbers because he was victimized by
a lot of drops.
Several drop
Jordy
passes.
Jordy Nelson could not have sucked more in a
and he still had 140 yards
in a standout performance.
He should have been an MVP with like 200 yards receiving.
Yeah. He had 9 for 140, and Mayock, I saw this show that's on right now. I think it's Playbook. He was very good, Mike Mayock, last night. He easily could have had 12 for 200 another touchdown.
He would have been the MVP had he caught the balls that were thrown to him.
Was it just me, or did that fumble Mendenhall look strikingly similar to the fumble Jerome Bettis had against the Colts in the playoffs a few years ago,
where his eyes
looked like dinner plates and his arms were hopelessly stretched trying to recover his own
fumble? It was a bad fumble.
Yeah, you're right. It did have a similar look to it.
There was no excuse for that. It was not one where the helmet was right on the ball and there's nothing the running back can do.
No, it wasn't even a particularly big hit.
No. The Claymaker got a lucky break.
The best commercial by far, although I don't mind Brooklyn Decker, was the NFL American Family, the one with the sitcoms. It was the most creative by far. Never knew Alf was a Panthers fan, and leave it to Kramer to look like the Bills of all teams. Anyway, there's Kramer's on Seinfeld, by the way, Andy.
I know. Anyway, he was the funny character.
Anyway, there's a great video on YouTube that shows comparisons to the actual footage of those segments that I'll link below. You guys should check it out. The editing is great. Kevin, take notes.
There was a good spot.
The media is going crazy about Christine Aguilera botching the anthem and the Black Eyed Peas needing real talented artists to carry them through their halftime show.
See,
at least we didn't see any nipples.
I didn't think they did need the help.
I thought they
were
fine.
They have enough songs that they could do on their own. They didn't need Usher. I liked the energy. That's what I'm looking for.
I liked the halftime show. I didn't see the National Anthem live, but I've since been... Yeah,
it's too bad.
It was
she
awkward.
Screwed up.
Yeah,
she screwed
up. You were lucky,
clips.
Paul.
I've heard it now 8,000 times because evidently Christina Aguilera is the first one who's ever botched the National Anthem.
But no, they make her... like it's like she's a communist. Like she did it on purpose. Like she was, you know...
It wasn't a Roseanne moment.
Well, I will say...
She screwed up.
I will
Hugh
say...
Jim Calhoun saying, I effed up. What do you want me to do? I effed up.
Had she not missed a single word, I would have... been very critical of the anthem because I just don't like when people go off on their own.
But that's not
rips.
Her fault either. You she sings an anthem. She clearly has a way she sings an anthem.
And
so
the league had to
you chose
it.
You wanted Christina Aguilera to come sing the anthem.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know how that works. I don't know if they knew that she was going to do that and told her not to and she did it. I don't know how that works.
I think
but
you know
I don't
going
like
in,
know how
you have a style that
I don't like when people make their own interpretations.
The yeah.
And she didn't do that. Wasn't anywhere near what she was doing. She was off key, period. She was off on all kinds of different...
I thought she was bad, but
she
I
was
mean... the
very bad.
I think the
and
time,
she's a great singer,
the,
by the way.
Yeah, the time difference on the two was only about 4 seconds, so it wasn't a huge...
She missed
like
a whole
difference.
Chunk of the song.
No, that's true.
She missed a verse.
That's
well,
true.
Like a line.
That's fair. Just, it probably would have lengthened it if she
sang
it.
She screwed up, so what do you want... why
no,
we gotta rip
she, no, no, no.
She, and she didn't
I'm
do
sure she knew immediately.
The funny part is the words...
But she kept going, so you got to give her credit for that. She wasn't like Roseanne, who Roseanne intentionally butchered the song for... What did she do it at? Like a...
The Cubs?
San Diego Padres game.
Padres.
Because at the time, Tom Werner was the owner of the Padres, and Roseanne was a Werner...
Werner, Carsey Werner.
And then she spit.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
She also grabbed her crotch.
I forgot about that.
That's classy.
So seeing her get hit by the
Stay
log on that spot was very appropriate.
But it's funny. Doc was mentioning the words to the anthem were actually going along on the ribbon board. So if she had just looked up, she would have seen all the words.
So she was karaokeing and she still screwed it
she
up.
She still screwed up.
I mean, I'm with Andy. I mean, anybody can botch a, you know.
That's why they usually tape it, right, and do the lip sync thing?
Yeah.
Just in case.
Yeah, I mean, you have it recorded just in case someone melts.
But
down.
it was a bad. I thought it was a bad performance. Period. Because I don't.
Yeah,
I don't think that song is open to interpretation.
About the CBA, leave it to a couple of jackasses who wear $10,000 suits to screw every fan out of their late year joys because they want X million dollars instead of Y million dollars. What are the NFLPA and the owners trying to settle? In other words, since you guys are already on the subject, lots of people know the CBA is about wage scales, working hours, training, health and safety, overtime, and rights to participate in workplace
season.
Or company affairs. But what's the hot issue of the CBA? Are the owners not getting enough money to pay for their teams? That's insane.
It's the revenue sharing issue. That's the main issue. The NFL owners currently get $1 billion off the top, meaning the league makes, what, $9 billion
a
year? The first billion goes right to the ownership. The remainder of that, 60% of the remainder of that, goes to the players for their salaries.
The owners basically
the
want
owners,
more credits.
The
they
owners,
want, they want to be able to write off
Doesn't
more
Eric
things.
Doesn't Eric sound
basically.
Like he swallowed a CBA?
What does the C stand
for? Know what the BA stands for.
I'm going to apologize because as soon as I said the word swallowed, I knew that Andy was going to do something like that.
But, I mean, they've lost, according to them, they've lost the incentive to invest in the game and the stadiums and growth because of the current agreement, and they want that back. They feel like if they're going to invest, and they keep saying, no new stadium project has been started since the CBA was signed, all the ones that have finished were already in the works, they feel like they've lost that incentive. But to me, that gets back to the partnership thing. Okay, sounds like we're becoming partners. If we're becoming partners, we're partners.
So what the owners are saying is, we want $2 billion off the top instead of $1 billion, so you players can get 60% of the remaining $7 billion as opposed to 60% of the remaining $8 billion that they currently
which
get.
Which then the players always give you the other number, which is the total percent of the money.
Yeah.
Because it's a smaller number.
Right.
You get into the whole semantics of the argument.
Cut it in half and call it a day. Ken Walter writes in,
Sorry. Why didn't we think of that? That makes me laugh every time.
Sorry for the absence, but I was busy taking advantage of Super Bowl fever by selling my signed Adam Vinatieri pictures. This year I offered a choice of personalized signatures people could ask for, Mr. Clutch or Kenny Two Rings. However, most people wanted Adam Vinatieri, so I signed a bunch of those too. I hope I spelled his name right.
Did you have Will McDonough help you?
Speaking of Super Bowl rings, I have to admit, pretty happy that I'm still tied with Roethlisberger. What a choke job. Let me ask you, who would you rather have on the field in the last 2 minutes of a Super Bowl, Big Ben running a two-minute drive or Big Ken calling the singles for the field goal unit? I thought so. Lastly, I wanted to give a shout-out to my number one fan, Giovanni. Thanks for being the voice of Ken Nation. Let me know if you'd like to buy a personalized Adam Vinatieri pick.
Oh, my God.
And regards Ken Walter, who wonders if he'll be eligible for Comeback Player of the Award next year.
Well, you certainly would.
You're wrong.
PFW in Progress is your biggest fan.
For your first 2 years Walter. After coming back, you'll be eligible under current guidelines.
Well, why are we going to limit it to two?
That's true.
All Lauren in South Carolina wants to know is, as a season ticket holder, how much is this new deal going to cost me?
That's a great question.
Well, I think the point
here... It is a very good question, because none of that stuff is going down.
No, well...
Ticket prices, concessions,
I think one of the things
parking.
One of the arguments the owners are making is they're not going to go up. We can't afford to raise ticket prices.
Not this year.
Yeah, because
it's not what Daniel Snyder said on the radio.
Right.
I don't know about that. He said about not
raising
prices.
Snyder said that, but I happen to know that a lot of teams don't think they're going to be able to raise tickets. They'd like to, but able to raise tickets for 10 years.
Yeah, well, that's...
Why?
That's insane.
Like, see, that's the...
To think that that's even a remote possibility is insanity. Maybe this year they'll look at it and say, we can't take that PR hit and ask the public while we're in this... You know, such a high-profile squabble. We can't ask them. But next year, when it's all settled, prices will be going up.
You think so? You know, with all the competition.
10 years. You think that they're going to hold ticket prices where they are now for 10 years?
I think some teams might have.
I would love to see it happen.
Yeah, they called Jacksonville, or they called. But I mean,
I think they're going to look to.
I think it would be a great thing. I don't think there's any.
I think
chance
they're
going
to try to look to make revenue in other areas. But
that's
I
great.
I think they truly do fear. The flat screen TV and the surround sound and the incentives to stay home and not go and have to deal with all, you know, some people love it, but a lot of people say it's just too much money and too much fuss, and I'm just going to watch at home. It's a beautiful game to watch on TV. It really is.
But things can change. It doesn't mean they take a step back. You may lose season ticket holders. I agree with you. I've always said I don't understand people that come to 8 games. But that doesn't mean you wouldn't sell the tickets.
No,
if you're Patriots at 14
but
and
there
2.
But there's a breaking point. There's a tipping point for a lot of people where they say, you know what, I'm going to sell.
My point
it.
Is you don't think you know, more people who don't come now would come if there were more tickets just available to individual games, if you could just buy a ticket. Now, I know the team doesn't like that because they want to know in March. I'm sold out, basically.
Right.
But I think there's a happy medium between not going at all and having to go 10 times a year.
Oh, I think
go to one or two games because there's still something to be said
for the
Patriots, Colts in the building, Manning, Brady, the excitement.
It's tough for a team to do it that way. They want to get those season tickets
and know the income's coming in
instead of
sometimes you got to do business in the real world. Though.
If you're going to let me, it just talks right over you.
Okay, I won't. Talk
you know, when you don't have those season ticket holders, season tickets sold, now you have to invest in marketing tickets every week. You know, making sure you get that sellout every week because they're not sold in advance.
But do you really think they wouldn't sell those tickets?
I think that most teams know their market. And they know that, you know, like people say, well, the Patriots have 40,000 people on their waiting list. Why don't they just, you know, build more seats and let them in? You know.
Well, they don't have to build more seats, but if they sold a package where you can get half a season ticket,
like a 4-game.
Right? Then you go to those people on the waiting list and say, hey, here's your way to start getting in. Would you like to buy the remainder? You would get those gobbled up, I think.
Maybe, but it's a risk. And we're only talking about 10 games. So, you know, I think.
The other issue when you talk about the games, to me, is, you know, and you saw this, Paul, when Goodell came and had the Q&A with the fans. His big argument about the 18-game season is we're hearing from season ticket holders who say they don't want 4 preseason games.
Well, that's been debunked.
I know, but he's not listening to that. He's not hearing that. I saw him on Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace this Sunday, and he said the same thing. Our season ticket holders are telling us they don't want...
Every poll that has come out refutes that.
Right. And what they're saying is, we don't want to pay regular season prices for preseason games.
Exactly, and they're forced to buy them.
Right.
And that's what their squad, that's
so
what the
So leave
fans
the
are
16
about.
Games alone and reduce the prices for the preseason games.
Right.
That's what they're saying. But the commissioner doesn't want
to
hear it.
And,
what they don't want to say, the owners and the, is we have a baseline revenue for 10 events and we can't decrease that revenue. Now, you want to start talking about decreasing the salary cap and all that? Because that's what we're going to force you to do if you take away two preseason games and don't replace them with two events that are equal to that. You know,
or why don't they stick it to the rookies even more and say that rookies have to take, you know, a lower minimum salary and then the veterans can still get all the rest of the money that they normally get.
But the thing there is that doesn't help the owners. It helps the owners in that
it doesn't,
in that, you know, you don't have to give these rookies these outlandish salaries. But the idea with that is to then take the money you save there and redistribute it to veterans. So the salary cap, in essence, remains the same.
Salary cap's not going to go down.
Right.
So you're basically your payroll for players is sort of fixed. It's not going to, you're not going to save money. You're not going to save anything appreciable by doing that. And I know, and I actually, there's been a lot of talk about that. You know, the whole situation with the rookie salaries. How many people are really affected by that? There's not really that many. You know, you're talking about the top what, seven or eight in the first round, and then. I heard an argument about this morning. They're like, well, look at Sam Bradford. Look at the money he's guaranteed. You think the Rams are upset about that?
Well,
I think that he is going to be your quarterback now for an affordable price.
But he could have been Rick Meyer or Ryan Leaf.
Well, yeah, and it's up to you to make sure he's not.
Right. And Robert Kraft mentioned something. It was sort of a throwaway line last week. But, you know, I'm thinking to myself, geez, you know what? What experience does he have to make this statement? He said, you know, so the salaries that the top rookies get, it can sometimes hurt your locker room. It affects your locker room. You know, when a guy comes in making all that money, and he said it affects your locker room. And I just wondered, you know, that was on his mind. What
if he knows from experience?
If something happened at some point down the road. You know, I don't know. The Patriots haven't had a lot of top 10 guys, so but maybe he's heard stories about some other team where, you know, I'm just throwing out a Sam Bradford comes in and, you know, guys are looking at him cross, you know, sideways.
I could see a Jamarcus Russell upsetting the locker room.
Sure. Yeah. There you go.
But because he stinks, not because of the money he makes.
But he's still making the money. You
right.
know?
But if he was good, like, I don't think there's one problem with Sam Bradford in St. Louis.
No.
And if they look at him and they
I
say,
don't either. He's
making us legitimate.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan in Atlanta.
Right.
He's making us
legitimate.
Jake Long
perfect.
In Miami.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, there's plenty of guys that didn't, you know.
Jamarcus Rowe doesn't perform, doesn't practice hard,
right.
making all that money, and all
just
his teammates are like,
right. What are you doing?
That's,
yeah.
you.
That's
right.
a problem in your locker.
Yeah.
But if he could play, it wouldn't be a problem.
No. Marvin writes in, Fred, my niece is working an internship right now for the Red Sox in Fort Myers. She informed us the fantasy baseball camp is run by Fenway Enterprises, not Major League Baseball or Red Sox. This is done by ownership for the sole purpose to hide the revenue from the rest of the league and the players. So it would not show up on the Major League Baseball Red Sox books. Okay. I mean, that's an example of a team doing something, you know, to make extra revenue, but they don't have.
That it wouldn't want to share with.
They don't
other
have revenue
owners,
sharing
perhaps.
In baseball. So
yes, they do.
They do.
Yes. Matter of fact, tell the Yankees and Red Sox about it. They go over the luxury tax every year.
Oh, they have the luxury tax,
and they have revenue
over.
Sharing.
Yeah, not like NFL.
Well, it's not as they
it's
don't
different.
What
yeah.
is the, what is the latest TV contract?
They don't have
17 billion. They don't have a 17.
Well,
billion
they don't have national
television contract,
yeah.
but their national TV contract is shared.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's not the same as football because it's not as lucrative.
Yeah.
Football's the best.
Let's see. What else have we got here? Strippers writes in. Got a lot of emails.
so read some.
Nevada sportsbooks only made $724,176 on Super Bowl bets. They took in $87 million. $491,000 in Super Bowl bets, smallest profit since 1998. So everyone had it right, I guess.
But they made
They made 87.
87 million?
Million or billion?
No, 870,000.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said 87.
I thought
million.
He did too.
Yeah. So, let's see. Anthony in London, have you clocked out, Andy? You're done?
I don't want to talk over you. So did you finish that sentence?
Oh, geez. He was just waiting for that.
You know, Andy, what? You're supposed to take the headphones and throw them down on the
you
console.
Know what, no, you I know what that. Time it is now.
I'm sorry, Paul. You were speaking. Go ahead.
It's time for a five-hour energy.
That's not Andy time.
What it's time for. What's the matter with you?
You chastise
me. Mr. Poopy Pants
over,
there.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what happened over the weekend, too, Freddie?
What's that?
I was out this weekend. I was getting some stuff ready for my son's birthday party on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, you got ready.
So I go to an ice cream place up on the North Shore. And I walk in, and I explain to him that I want to make a little Sunday bar because Will want. And the guy's just staring at me, the guy behind the counter, the owner of the place. And he's
Paul
like,
said, what the F you looking at?
No, it was a man.
Yeah, exactly.
So he goes, are you Paul Perillo? And I'm like, yeah, it's really, I introduced myself. He introduces himself to me. And I said, that's really cool. You know, thanks for saying hi, blah, blah, blah. He goes, oh, I love the show. You guys are so good. He goes, that Andy Hart guy, you guys have those arguments. It's so funny. He goes, what's he, about your age? And I said, that's going to leave a mark for me.
I don't
and
think
go,
he
no.
meant it that way.
I said, no, he's 10 years younger than me. He goes, oh, really? Oh, you guys, you like get along really well. And then Fred, I got to admit, he goes, and the other guy, he goes, I'm sorry. I forget his name. And I said, oh, that's going to leave a mark too.
Well, I'm not big in the dairy world.
When you
ten takes Kirsch.
Shake. Anyway, the guy was extremely nice. He gave us a lot of free stuff.
Oh, that's good. Anthony in London says, "Hey guys, including Eric, who deserves a break." He says, "I know Paul
today.
Hates hypothetical scenarios, but screw him. I'm asking anyway."
I hate hypothetical scenarios.
Say that. It just sounded like Paul there.
Banana in the
say the Patriots took their late season form into the playoffs, didn't get any better, but didn't get worse, and made the Super Bowl against the Packers. If the Packers then play that game in the same way they did against Pittsburgh, who wins? Because I think Green Bay does, and I don't think I could have taken Super Bowl heartbreak again. So
I think Green Bay...
Assuming Green Bay played
the same
level...
I think Green Bay with Rodgers beats the Patriots. I think that... It was a very even game without Rodgers, and I know it's a simplistic way of looking at it. It changes everything, changes the defensive game plan, changes a lot of stuff for the Patriots, but I think Green Bay was better. Now, the hypothetical,
but
I think
the reason
that he's talking
Green Bay
about
was good against Patriots, part of it was their corners, and they lost one of those corners early. Mm. They also lost,
good,
what's his name?
Good point.
Shields, right?
Good point.
The other guy.
Driver?
No.
Wasn't
yeah.
it Shields?
No, who they lost another
D-back.
Shields went out for a
very
Nick
Collins
time.
Went out
Collins,
for a while, too.
Nick Collins yeah. went out for a while. So I yeah, just think they, if you lose a couple guys like that, Brady
no.
might target it, and it's a different game.
No, it's a great point. Great point. Now, the hypothetical that Patriots fans like to do that on those kinds of things is every year they've gotten knocked out of the playoffs, they would have won the Super Bowl had they not lost the playoff game that they lost.
They've never lost.
They've never lost a game that they never appeared in. They're undefeated in games in which they didn't take part in, is the way I like to put it. I mean, you heard it again this year. I mean, they got, as Glenn Ordway, of all people, said yesterday, completely and thoroughly outplayed against the Jets. Steve DiAzzi agrees with
that. You're making
And Fred
my
says, they'd have beaten the Packers. I mean, maybe they would have. I'm not here to tell you they had no chance. I mean, they beat everybody in the Final Four. So to say that they didn't have a chance is stupid, but...
Right.
To automatically assume, had they not turned the ball over five times in Denver in 2005, that they would have won the Super Bowl, to me, is foolish.
Guy is from the UK, and he has an epic email, but I think it's worth reading. He says, can I take you back to the Sunday of the divisional round against the Jets? It's around 8:15 p.m. UK time, and the game is starting in a couple of hours. I have snacks ready, a few beers in the fridge, and my Rodney Harrison shirt ready to wear. My six-year-old daughter is playing upstairs in her room, and I go up to tell her it's bedtime. Climbing the stairs, I pass a paperback book a few steps up and remember thinking that I must take that up as it's pretty dangerous. Okay, so I'm walking down the stairs, now carrying my six-year-old daughter so she can say goodnight to her mom, and before I know it, my left foot stands on that same paperback and I slip. I remember the whole thing vividly. Immediately, I know I'm in trouble. I plant my right foot, trying to lift my daughter out of harm's way as I begin to fall backwards,
oh.
and I proceed to fall nastily down the four steps to the bottom. My daughter is thankfully fine when we land, although a bit shocked, which is the first thing to say, but unfortunately for me, I think that I have heard a snap, and I tell my wife, who comes running after hearing the bump, that I think I've broken my leg. She freaks. Now I'm sitting at the bottom of the stairs. I tell her to calm down and that she'll have to phone an ambulance. Now, I'm not in a lot of pain at this point, and when the paramedics arrive and ask my wife, is he usually that gray, I actually give them a 6 out of 10 on the pain meter. One of the paramedics suspects a break, the other suspects a serious sprain, but either way, I'm going to the ER. Now, I don't know what the ER is like in the States, but the wait to see a doctor here in the UK when taken to hospital is on average 4 hours. I quickly see the problem. The pats are on in a little over 3 hours. I start trying to talk the paramedics out of taking me to the hospital. I can't go. I say, I don't know if he sounds like that. Pretending. I've got something to watch on telly that I can't miss. Needless to say, they won't have it, and they start lifting me onto the trolley, ready to bundle me into the ambulance. Suddenly, my DVR. Yes, that's it, DVR. Lorna, I say, you make sure the DVR the game for me. I'll watch it when I get home later. To cut a longer story shorter, I find out after x-ray that night that I have snapped both tib and fib just above the foot, have fractured both sides of my ankle, and that the ankle is dislocated too, and that I will have to stay in to have an operation.
Wow, four steps caused all that.
By the way, which paramedic thought it was just a sprain?
Just a sprain.
Even then, I say to the doctor that I can't stay in. I have to get home and watch the game. That must be the well into the second quarter by now. Anyway, following the doctor relocating the ankle, which is just about the worst pain I've ever experienced in my life, I'm shot full of morphine and taken into a ward for the night. My wife comes to visit the morning. What was the score, I say. They lost, she says. Thank God I'm on morphine. Well, I finally have my operation on Thursday, and I get out on Saturday, but don't watch the championship game. The pain is just too great, easily reaching 10 on the pain-o-meter. I watch the Super Bowl on Sunday and can't help but have the overwhelming idea that the Patriots were a miles better team, even with their suspect defense in both the Packers and the Steelers. Had we got past the Jets, we would have won it all. I'm sure of it. Super Bowl 45 was not a good advertisement for the quality of the NFL. Don't you guys agree?
I do agree with that.
Anyway, sorry for the long email, but I thought I'd share with you what, in hindsight, was a lucky break for me as I missed the much more serious pain of witnessing our loss to the Jets. So that's an epic email by God.
Well read, Fred. Well read.
Yeah. Oh, well, God. Very well delivered, especially the role playing you did there.
Turn on the
DVR.
I have something to watch on the
telly.
Now I'm out of breath.
I agree about the notion that we talked all year about how it just didn't seem like there were any really good teams this season. It was kind of sloppy football, and I thought it went right down to the Super Bowl where the Steelers turned the ball over 3 times. The Packers take a 21-3 lead and put themselves in harm's way by getting sloppy, dropping passes. I thought Rodgers was constantly directing his wide receivers. Part of that may have had to do with Driver being out, and maybe Nelson or James Jones, one of those guys, was in a position that they don't normally line up in. But it seemed like he was constantly rerouting the before plays, and they were haphazardly getting the snap off. The Steelers had to take 2 timeouts in the third quarter, which ultimately was very, very big at the end of the game. I just thought it was sloppy football. I thought both teams were good, but I think there was very sloppy football, and it showed you that kind of what the four of us have been talking about all year, really there's nothing great about the NFL this season.
And that might put the Patriots' success in the regular season in a nutshell. The fact that they avoided the sloppy football.
And that's what they do better than anybody.
And that's probably the only thing that separated them from the rest of the teams. You know, yeah, Brady played well, but the main thing about Brady is he only had 4 interceptions. Gets back to not playing sloppy football.
They set a record for the fewest amount of giveaways.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a formula for success.
And that separated them. But like we saw in the playoffs, you know, you get a early interception, and they got away from that.
They played sloppy.
Plus the Jets, I think. I give them a lot of credit.
Plus in the playoffs, I think you have to make more plays. You can't just get by not giving up plays. You need to make some. And they stopped making them on defense and didn't make enough on offense. Quick question. Anybody else think Ted Thompson was drunk? Not just for our esteemed panel, but anybody who watched the game. I thought Ted Thompson was drunk on the podium post-game.
I didn't watch the podium.
I think he was
drunk. I didn't watch the podium either.
You guys just flick it off. Final gun. Poop. Game over.
Yeah, what did I do? I had to take the garbage.
What about the denouement?
I did the same thing, but I did watch some of that. I just don't remember thinking that he appeared any out of the ordinary.
He's intoxicated.
So no what if he was?
Oh, I don't care. Yeah. No, I wouldn't do it, knowing that I might have to be on a podium in front of 116 million people. I would probably, but Paul would clearly.
Maybe he was nervous and wanted to take the edge off.
Why would I do
game.
That?
He took the whole edge off, apparently.
Pretty much.
Oh, okay.
I want to kiss you.
Let's see. Fred writes in, well, it was not a well-played game, but the score made it exciting. All things being equal, I will always cheer for the team that does not have a alleged rapist on them. So I was happy with the outcome.
How do you know which team to root for then?
I bet you every team has an alleged rapist
somewhere. That's my point.
I'll give the Packers a month or so to enjoy it, and then they're going to have to settle down. All this repeat and dynasty talk, I'll chalk it up to being caught up in the moment. The media is just as bad, wanting to crown their ass for the next 10 years. I will wait to see if they are the 2007 Giants who got hot for a month and then fell back to the pack. But they certainly earned their crown and can't be accused of taking the easy road. I have a question. When does half the distance to the goal kick in on a penalty? I thought it was when there were more yards to the penalty than there are to the goal. But that does not appear to be the case. Help a guy out.
Half. So if you're on the 19-yard line and it's a 10-yard penalty, the penalty is greater than half the distance to the goal. So you go half the distance.
See, I never understood that. Why is that?
I sort of agree with you. I think if you're on the 16-yard line, you get a personal foul.
You're down to
on
the six.
Or the one, depending on how you look at it.
You said the 16-yard line.
And you get a personal foul.
Oh, personal foul, okay. Yeah.
I agree with you, but that's how they do it.
You're on the six!
Is that right, Andy? You nod your
head. I believe
that's the way it works. Yeah, I think that's the way it is.
Yeah, why?
Because that's the rule, I don't know.
So if you're on the 6-yard line and you get a false start, it's half the distance, because five would be greater than three.
But you should be on the one.
I agree, but that's not how they do it. There's a lot of things that, quote-unquote, should be.
But I'm sure there's a reason
for that. It should only kick in if you're on the 14 and you get a personal foul, then you can't put it in the end zone, so you have to go half the distance.
If the penalty is greater than the yards to the end zone, obviously. Yeah.
That should be the only time that kicks in.
But to me, in those cases, it should always just go to the one.
Right. Like passing
kind of like pass interference. Yeah, that's a good point, too. If it's a 10-yard penalty... Yeah. And you're on the 11. You're on the 9.
Goes
you can't
one.
Give it. You can't give a 10, but put it on the
I
one.
I agree, and I think that would be one rule where finally we're giving the defense a little bit of an edge, because it puts more pressure on the offense.
I like it. I like it. Let's bring it up with the competition committee.
I don't know if Bill Polian and I aren't on speaking terms anymore.
Oh, you're not?
Oh, actually, I don't think he's on the competition. Isn't he off the competition committee now?
No, I think he's still on.
I think he's still on. Yeah.
Now, the question would be Fisher, McKay,
who takes his
and
place?
All those guys.
Right.
Well, McKay stayed on it because even though he's
no,
not
Fisher,
really.
No, Fisher, I mean.
No, I know. I don't know. I don't think he'll be able to stay on it unless he takes a leak.
Goes to another team.
No,
yeah.
Just becomes a leak. You know,
what's McKay now?
I don't know, but he doesn't really do much.
President?
Speaking of non-players, we didn't really talk about this whole Sean Payton thing moving to Dallas. We did before the show started, but it's kind of odd.
Yes.
That he and what you're saying is, if it's true, he's going to commute by plane.
The story
every
said,
day.
Yeah, the story
that,
I read
that makes no sense.
It was in today's clips, national clips. The story said that he's going to move to Dallas, and then take a private plane to New Orleans every day, and the whole. Timetable of getting from his home to the stadium would be a 90-minute deal each way. So that's 3 hours of commuting time every day, the story said.
It's got nothing on me.
Is there a specific reason, like his mother's sick?
It didn't
sick
say.
Or
no, but, it didn't say why he wanted to do
but
it.
Who's paying for this plane?
It didn't say that either.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
It's also a slap in the face to New Orleans, Louisiana.
Unless, like you say, there's some mitigating.
Right. But I would think we'd know that if that were the case.
Maybe he just wants to do this? Just to move to Dallas?
Yeah. Apparently. I don't know if it's confirmed or not, but that's what the story.
This is clearly where the rumors came from, that he was taking over as GM of the Cowboys.
Right.
Right. And that's how the story was, something like, he might not be working for the Cowboys, but he seems to be moving to Dallas.
So is this, a lot of people suspecting maybe he's trying to get fired.
Yeah, could be. Then he could take a job with the Cowboys.
Right.
Why would you do that?
Try to get fired?
Yeah.
Because you have something on the horizon that's better, that you want more. And if you quit, they still own your rights. You can't sign
with these guys. You have Drew Brees. On the surface, it looks like you have a pretty nice little QB coach tandem that likes working together, offensive mastermind with the accurate like.
Certainly a better team.
Why?
Maybe he wants to prove that he can build a team.
Well, and also
as
there's something about
executive
being with the Dallas Cowboys. I mean,
He coached there before, so it's not like he doesn't know
yep.
Jerry Jones or the yep. city or anything.
Exactly. So why does he want to go back?
Well, but if Jerry Jones is finally willing to give someone the GM responsibility.
But even if he tells you that, would you believe him? Even if he writes it in a contract, would you believe him?
Well, Jerry Jones is under a lot of financial pressure.
You could be fired at
any
point.
You know, he's got a big nut he has to cover at that stadium.
Not two. That's,
you know.
He's got a bust.
Speaking of that, did you happen to hear Troy Aikman during the game? Roethlisberger threw a pass toward the sideline that overshot a guy, and he said Roethlisberger got it up. And my mother looked at me, and I'm like, oh, never mind.
It's the first time.
I mother, go, we're not on PFW.
Your mother looked at you like this?
Yeah, she gave me a bad look.
Roethlisberger got it up, and co-eds everywhere ran for their lives.
Oh. They were doing that in the pregame. I don't know if you saw that Frank Caliendo guy was doing his George Bush thing at a stand-up place, and he had a guy with a... You know, with a little drumstick
right.
doing the rim shots. And he was doing, like, George Bush one-liners about the Super Bowl and Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. And he kept doing that. And he'd get the rim shot, and he'd go, oh! And he was dancing around like you do in the office. It was pretty funny.
He was like, tell the truth.
We need a
line. Lines like that. Right. It's funny. I don't usually think he's that funny on those things.
I think his impersonations
are very good. Did you think the little babies, the E-Trade babies with the Fox guys on their... They had all Fox guys' haircuts, so there was one E-Trade baby with a flat top,
oh,
and there
I
didn't was another
that.
One with
I
a
missed
ball,
that too.
Like Terry Bradshaw.
Was
it
this
was really lame.
Was it? Yeah, was this
it was pregame?
Pregame? Oh, I didn't see.
Oh,
I didn't see any of the pregame.
That's another thing that really bothered me pregame. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Terry Bradshaw
this
sat down
good.
With Roethlisberger and interviewed Roethlisberger, and he said like
supposedly
three,
they've mended fences.
Well, it said, well maybe they have, but. Like, over the course of the interview, three, four times, Bradshaw said to Roethlisberger, it's really important that I have a good relationship with you. Why? What? You know, you're just an old fart, okay? Roethlisberger does not care about having a relationship
well,
with
clearly,
you.
Clearly, because
well,
you know? He hated him.
You don't think there's something to be said for organization and history? And
especially that team. That's what that team is basically founded on, is tradition.
But I think any team would like to strive for that, would like to have... You know, Bill Russell talking to Kevin Garnett would
right.
like to have...
Teams with tradition have that.
I think that's the goal. And I think when players come to a team like the Celtics or... They always reference that history and knowing the players that came
if
before
I'm,
you.
If I'm the coach, head coach, and I have power, I worry about the veterans being too close to my current players.
Well, I mean, Bill Belichick has all the power in the world, and he brings out Sam Cunningham and
that's
remember
control.
That highlight of
that's control. But
what's
I don't
his
want
name,
Sam
the tight
Cunningham
end.
Calling up guys on his own. If I want to bring him in to give a talk, fine.
But I mean, obviously, your players have to be smart enough to not take advice or take coaching from one guy over the other.
That's a big caveat.
But Belichick does that not only with
since when are
Patriots,
they smart enough to do anything?
Belichick
I
brings
give him
other
more
guys
than
in.
That.
What?
Right.
Mark Bavaro.
I think the history has a. There's a meaning. There's a value there.
I think it needs to be controlled.
Okay, so control it.
No.
I didn't say Terry Bradshaw should be allowed at all team meetings and all huddles, and but I think there's something to be said for organizational history and.
Sure.
And,
I agree with
oh,
that.
And especially in his case, because he's in the broadcast
sure.
role now, too, so he can't pull like a Deion Sanders and then you know be giving advice or a Tom Jackson thing where he was. Supposedly trying to steer or motivate one team or the other and all that stuff. They have to be careful.
Still one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
Sheila in Clearwater says, glad you're still on during the offseason. Otherwise, the withdrawals would be too much stress. Anyway, thanks for all the great shows this season, and I'm looking forward to what's to come. I have an idea to help solve a part of the problem. I think she's talking about the 18-game season.
Don't
the,
do it.
The players don't want to increase games to 18, but the owners in the NFL do. Instead of increasing regular games to 18, why not add the two games to the playoffs? Wait, hear me out. Instead of four preseason games, go to two and move the two as a playoff series. Oh, instead of four preseason games, go to two and move the two as a playoff series. Play two out of three wins, but not against the same team. Not to get into too many details, but play three games within the conference. Now the players win by not playing 18 regular games. Half only play 16 games. Then if you make it to the playoffs, it's just two more teams or one if you get the bye and win your division.
We need Ralph Wilson drop
yeah,
in
and then
there,
she gets
Kevin.
Into the revenue share and all that.
I don't necessarily get the details.
Complicated proposal.
It's not,
it's
I
not
was
a
thinking
terrible
the same
idea.
Thing. I was thinking add two teams on each conference to the playoffs and extend the playoffs a week. Every, you know, now each team isn't making more money because they have another game, but the TV revenue gets bigger, so each team will share that extra revenue. You know? So it's not off. It's not.
And there's been enough talk of changing the playoffs.
Yeah.
I in the
brought
conversation.
That up about a month
didn't
ago.
Think I was a dropout.
Like that.
I don't think I am.
A terrible idea. And the owners have admitted that the value in those games is not necessarily the gate. It's the contract. It's adding on to a TV. It comes in the hundreds of millions that you take from Fox or
CBS. You know, so, you know, basically instead of six teams in each conference, eight teams make it. So, I don't know.
I think players would be more open to it than just adding two regular season games.
I would not dismiss it. I would look into it.
I would too.
Good, Sheila. Good. let's see.
By the way, we should
not being
stay.
Condescending to the listeners.
Ratings are way up, way, way up. So clearly that was a hiccup in November. I mean, Fred was right. It was a holiday because all-time highs for January.
Did you hear that, Fred?
Per show ratings through the roof. Tremendous.
He just said that Fred was right, and Fred waved him off.
Now we got to see
dismissively.
Well, his logic may have been flawed. There's a holiday in November, so people don't listen. You know, December they grew.
When you're comparing ratings, you compare year to year. It's not month to month.
No, I'm like the NFL. I compare consistently month to month.
Each
and they
month
had grown
instant gratification.
14 or 18 straight months, and then they shrunk by 25%.
Doesn't sound apologetic anymore.
This doesn't sound like an apology.
I'm just happy ratings are up again. Now let's see if we can maintain it.
You know what I'm just
season.
Happy about? I'm just happy that you're happy, Andy.
That's good.
Much like my Super Bowl viewing when you were at the forefront of my mind, I'm just happy when you're happy.
It's good.
Because nobody's happy when he's not happy.
Exactly. Good, Kevin.
Don't you ever forget it.
I had a hell of a Saturday.
How bad was it?
I had ice dams.
Went to stand-up mode.
I had ice dams on my roof.
So did
a little water started coming in through the
Oh, you had a
window,
leak too?
So I had to clear, make a passage. So first I had to get the ladder. Ladder's down by the shed. There's 4 feet of snow. So
please
I had to
sell
a,
tickets next time.
I had to shovel a path to get to the ladder. Then I had to unbury the ladder, unfreeze the ladder so it could move.
How long did that take?
This is hours. Carry the ladder to the front. Okay, cut another path to where I wanted to clear the ice, and then I get up there with a chisel and get that done. But it worked. Like, at one point, all of a sudden, the water just started rushing out.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, whoa, this is great.
Right.
I did it.
And you did this all by yourself?
All
no
by
help from your son? You didn't
all
have a robot
myself.
For that?
No.
You never let this kid do anything.
And the guy across the street is like, you want to borrow my roof rake? And, of course, I said no because I couldn't accept any help.
He's too proud.
Yeah. Well, plus, those don't really work if it's ice, right? Those work on snow.
They'll keep it from happening
off.
Again.
Right.
So, I mean, if it snows and you get all the snow off right away, you're not going to have ice dams.
Right.
You know?
Fred, is the pitch to your roof kind of...
It's very steep.
Oh, okay.
I have a very steep pitch.
Oh, man. Why does he make that sound like sexual or something?
Well, very steep pitch.
I could say hello when you would get...
No, when you
that is
when
true.
You say it like that, though,
I got a very steep pitch. Oh.
He didn't grab his crotch when he said it, but he
said
it.
I didn't say I pitched a 10. Casey in Milwaukee, watching the Steelers lose Sunday was gratifying from a Patriots perspective, and
pitching
I don't think
a 10
we could.
Back there.
5 minutes later, he comes up with the drop in.
That one takes a while to find.
Only with you.
Brady.
Start over with Casey. Watching the Steelers lose on Sunday was gratifying from a Patriots perspective, and I don't think we could have beat the Packers with Aaron Rodgers. We barely beat his backup, and they have outstanding defensive players in Woodson and Matthews. I found myself in a Packers bar in Milwaukee, and although I celebrated along with the Cheeseheads, deep down I felt like the Pats could have been there. That didn't stop me from making out with a mildly attractive Wisconsinite. Oh, good for you. But now we have the CBA to talk about, and I really want to get to the bottom of what the sticking points are. The owners apparently signed a deal in 06 with the departure of Tagliabue that gave the players 60% of some kind of revenue. But this doesn't include the TV money deal inked in 07? Sure it does. Either way, the owners say they need to get more money to reinvest in stadiums more than anything else. To get the money, they want an 18-game season and a greater share of that 60%. With the addition of more teams in the playoffs and only the first seed getting the bye and an additional bye in the season help get this deal done. Are we just going towards an off-season of discontent where both sides dig in and nothing gets done till the summer? As writers and people closer to the situation than us fans, you have a great opportunity to act as a conduit for this story. Well, we've been talking about it, so, Casey, we try our best. And that's one of the things that we
hit
can
it, Cartman.
Do over this offseason is keep people informed of things as we learn them. So you're definitely going to want to be glued to Patriots.com and the PFW blog in particular, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yep. Always.
Yep. My guess is this is going to be a huge topic at the Combine when we're down there.
Oh, yeah, because we're only going to be days away from the
And all that. Now, more of that will probably be on the football side in terms of how it's going to affect that area and signings and tags.
I wonder if we'll see more agents this year because of what we were talking about earlier.
Could be. There may be more things going
gamesmanship.
On at the time. But as I told you earlier, there was some talk of agents saying we're not going to have clients go to the Combine because of the work stoppage, which I don't really know why you would do that.
Yeah, I don't think that helps your client very much.
No.
Brooklyn Matt says, good job, Fred. Your impromptu English accent freaking killed me. It was so funny because you're one of the last guys who'd ever be seen doing one. Oh, and another thing, every time I watch Family Guy, I notice many similarities between you and Peter Griffin. The two of you are very similar identity and personality-wise.
And looks.
And Eric, you're in my doghouse again for saying the Black Eyed Peas had enough quality material to carry a 20-minute set. They freaking suck. That crap is shallow and vapid. Oh, and speaking of...
Pompous Music Man checking
speaking
in.
Of that, hi, Andy.
What a douche.
That seems
I
to be the...
retarded or something.
The predominant opinion is that they didn't belong anywhere near the...
They're pop music. I think they're fine.
I didn't get it. I mean, I was fine with it.
Yeah.
They are a popular...
They're party music.
Right,
and
but
it's
they
a
have...
big party.
They, my point is, Brooklyn Matt, they have enough material that people know that they could have sustained a 20-minute set on their own. They've gone on tour. They do, you know, they hold concerts... They didn't need help from Slash and Usher and all these other people. They could have done their own music.
Usher could have done his own halftime show.
He could have done his own, exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. It's we saw the best in 01. That was the best Super Bowl halftime show ever, and nothing has ever come close. Now, I know a lot of it had to do with 9/11 and the emotion and all that. You'll never.
I think the emotion was that.
That to me was.
But it was
the
also
whole
you
set
too.
To me,
good.
I know. Yeah. To me, I didn't even realize there was music playing. To me, it was those banners dropping, those names going down. I'll never forget it. It was one of the most unbelievable
and
moments of my life.
We've seen that, and it's like, how do you match the emotion of that?
You can't.
You can't.
But that's different.
But it has nothing
this
to do with you,
too. This is just flat-out entertainment and energy, and
I
like it.
I'll forever compare anything I see at halftime with that. You know, fair or not fair, that's the first thing I'm going to think of, you know?
Yeah. I also heard, by the way, that Dallas and the committee, whatever, they specifically did not want to do. Remember how I had said maybe they'd be like Kenny Chesney and George? They specifically didn't want to do country because they didn't want to, like, be lumped in as that's all we are down
here.
They didn't
want to
country.
Pigeonhole themselves?
Yeah, so... Which I don't really understand. I mean, be who you are. That's
In the pregame concerts, they had Keith Urban and somebody else.
Jerry Jones hired a head coach because he was from Texas. He said he was he's a real cowboy. He's from Texas. So just be who
you
are.
Jerry Jones is from Arkansas, but you know, it's not.
But I just didn't get the criticism for the Black Eyed Peas.
I don't get criticism,
don't know what
period,
you wanted
for that stuff. I just don't understand. I mean, if you want to go to a concert, go to a concert. I mean, if you know, the Brooklyn Mats of the world that need to have the, you know, the aesthetics of, you know, the skill of the musicians and whatnot, because I'm kind of with Andy. I think when you listen to people in person,
they stink.
9 times out of 10, they're not anywhere near as good as what you hear generally on the radio when the machines fix everything and all the
flaws.
People
like Brooklyn Matt have 8 million buttons and knobs.
Oh, but there is something about live music.
No, fine.
Yeah,
but that's not what
it's
a football game.
I know.
It's a football game.
See Paul sitting there and everyone's up dancing and Paul's fuming in his seat, you know.
What, for concerts? At a concert?
No, at a football game, at a halftime show.
Oh, well, I wouldn't. If I was there, I probably wouldn't even be in my seat.
I mean,
seat.
You guys,
you'd be at the
you guys have
line.
Been to.
Absolutely.
Right. You guys have been to more Super Bowls in person than I have. The only one I have to go on is 42. And in the
I don't remember who
it, well,
was
in,
there.
In the pregame, they had Alicia Keys,
Tom Petty,
and somebody else doing stuff. And they performed their songs in their entirety. They did a few of their best songs. At halftime, Tom Petty took 3 of his favorites and played them in their entirety. And that, to me, was great.
Yeah,
it was
I
simple.
I don't remember it.
I don't think I watched it. I think I was probably in the lounge doing something.
That's right. You weren't sitting.
Pretty
with
sure
the,
I was in my seat.
The riffraff with me and Andy.
But I mean, that's I'm not a good gauge because I'm not a Tom Petty fan. I wouldn't know. You know.
Right. I was completely happy with hearing those songs full live. Just that's all they needed to do. Yeah. I'm just
like
saying
medleys.
The Black Eyed Peas could have taken any three of their top songs and done those and filled the 15 minutes or 20, whatever it is.
I had no problem with the Black Eyed Peas.
And I actually kind of like, I told you, Paul, I like when they put a few people together. I liked the Britney Spears,
Aerosmith,
or whatever that grouping was. I like that. I think it makes it different, unique, entertaining. You don't know what's coming. Appeals to a couple different people.
Yeah, I think people spend a lot, too much time analyzing
these halftime
shows. Yeah,
they were shredding
it. Oh, they were killing it. And it, supposedly, like, something went down electronically.
Well, yeah,
they lost their content, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't
the
know.
IFB?
I don't know. If some kind of communication
and if
stuff,
have
electronic
there,
stuff.
Less clothes,
I don't know.
Please.
Well, that's obviously the league.
Well, I was a little disappointed in that.
To steal a line from Wes Welker, this was dipping their toe back into hot, young, entertaining artists and away from the 40-somethings.
Yeah.
They'll show a little more cleavage year by year, and which I'm all for.
Just bring Brooklyn Decker up.
But I never even remember, you know, from one to the next. Like, people, what didn't Bruce do it a couple years ago?
Yeah.
I mean, was
Detroit,
that
I think.
Was that much more memorable than any other one
right.
for anybody? Again, to me, it wasn't about U2, the artist, because I don't like U2. It was about that particular year.
I don't like
U2. 2001.
You don't like U2?
No.
Have you ever, I don't like you either.
Talk about self-righteous, pompous,
well,
pseudo-intellect.
Forget about that.
Bono.
But what about their music?
Sonny Bono.
Good, Paul.
No, I don't like U2.
You don't like U2?
No, well, I don't like you either.
I don't either.
I also like.
Here's the look.
He didn't even give me the look.
Beyond just the music, I kind of liked the LEDs on the people that change colors, and
I like that better than pretending that they're screaming kids
right.
in front of the.
This
stage.
Actually,
well, that
almost
is, that's silly.
It was a much smaller degree, but the Chinese Olympics where you had this
right.
huge crowd, you know, doing stuff, working that kind of catching your eye. And,
but Fred, you are right about that ceremony in 2001. That was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, but that was. A
but
layup.
That's some. Yeah, you can't.
Hopefully, we'll never have that type of
right.
Emotion. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Bad Kevin writes in, hey, Fred, Paul, Eric, and D-Bag.
Imagine if in that one you had the Black Eyed Peas come out. Let's get this party. While the names come down. Now that is worth
now
the criticism.
That would be inappropriate.
First off, congrats to all the Pats for their regular season awards. Well deserved, and it gave me at least something to brag about on Sunday. At my Super Bowl party, we got into a discussion of how fans feel about their head coach. Of course, I was with a Bears fan or two, and they hate Lovey. I did nothing but defend Bill. So we started discussing which fan bases actually liked their coach. I don't think there were many. We came up with the Pats, the Steelers, Packers, and most Jets fans. Can you think of any other fan bases that actually liked their coach? I'm sure there's plenty. I mean, I think New Orleans likes Peyton up until...
Well, they did until he
left
town, yeah.
You know, he was a favorite. I think,
You think Jets fans?
Oh, yeah.
I think Jets fans
like Rex.
Yeah,
I think
sure.
I think they love him.
Yeah.
Now, he when he goes through that 6-10, he's going to be a blowhard. It's going to happen overnight. If he has a bad year, it'll be a complete swap. If it's 90-10 favor right now, one bad year will make it 10-90. Absolutely.
It is a short list.
Well, first of all, a third of the coaches turn over every year.
Right.
So you can't be – I mean, I don't know. Niners fans are probably happy with Jim Harbaugh right now, but, you know, we'll see what happens when he coaches a game.
So,
I mean, well, is the question, do they like their coach or do they like the coach that they have? Because I think there are two different things there. Like, do you like the person who's coaching your team?
You were doing well today until now.
My point is...
I'll hear you out. I'm biting my tongue.
In other words, are Patriots fans glad they have the greatest coach of all time coaching their team? Or do they like the man?
This is like our players' argument.
Well,
do they like Bill Belichick or do they like winning with Bill Belichick?
You're right.
Well,
that's my
point. I think it's
that's
more
why
the,
I was glad I. Glad
well,
I
heard think
you.
It's. I think just keep it simple. Do you like the coach you have? Are you glad you have him?
Yeah, and I.
Are you glad you have him? Yes.
Patriots
do you
fans
like
are glad
him?
That they win.
Another thing.
People don't know him.
Patriots fans are glad they win.
Yeah.
They have the best coach in the league, and they're glad for that.
They're glad for that. You know, I think.
They go with the he may be an a hole, no, but he's our
a hole. I think Pittsburgh Steelers
exactly.
fans are glad
that's
they have
kind
Mike
of my
Tomlin.
Point. Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I think
now,
that, you know.
The one anomaly for this one would be the Eagles. The Eagles have a very, very good head coach, and I'm sure that a lot of Eagles fans wish that he would leave.
Yeah,
might happen.
What
so.
About Harbaugh?
Andy Reid has done nothing but win. John Harbaugh, Baltimore's probably happy with.
Coughlin, Giants.
Absolutely not.
Mm.
They want him out.
What about Todd Haley?
I think it's a mixed bag right now with him. I think he's a lot of fans. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I was reading, I think it was Domowicz who wrote for our paper in his column. He mentioned a couple teams have already laid off people, and one of them was
I don't like
Kansas
this,
City.
By the way, coming.
But the people that
you guys,
what he wrote about.
Oh, I didn't tell you this is the last show.
What he wrote about smacked of
crap.
Pioli clearing out some people that had been there a long time because they weren't his people.
Right, Pimo.
That had nothing to do with CBA.
Pete Morris. Our boy, Pimo.
Yeah. That's what that was.
Well,
about.
I'll tell you that was unfair on that. I thought, and I'm not. This is what I think of the Jets. That's not the same thing. With
no,
the Jets.
That wasn't either.
I mean,
right.
That sounds like there were a bunch of guys, just like when we opened Gillette
people
Stadium.
People don't know what you're talking about.
The Jets had, I think, 30 people that were let go, but they claim that those people were hired to sell PSLs and all that goes with a new stadium.
Which makes sense.
And now they're done.
Right.
So when they were hired, that's what they were hired for.
Right.
To do a job for a certain time frame, and then you were to be let go. We did the same thing.
Right.
At Gillette Stadium. There were guys that were hired specifically for the process of Gillette Stadium.
Right.
And they knew when they were hired that they were good, it was a finite amount of time.
That's right.
That's not the economy on paycheck to paycheck employees, as Domowicz sort of wrote.
See,
now, the Kansas City ones, those are, to me.
But I think they use the CBA as a cover to get rid of some people he wanted to get rid of.
You may be right. Especially you've got a longtime media relations
guy. Yeah.
He wants to get his guy in there.
That's right.
Did we ever talk about the Kraft comments that you teased?
I think we did.
Well, in
the
particular.
You're talking about
the
when he
ones
was asked
about what
the Jets.
Went wrong in the Jets game. What was missing in the Jets game? And there's some interpretation on how the quote came, but he said, I don't know, a good game plan, and then went on to kind of list some of the mistakes in the game, from Brady's lazy interception to Slater trying to down a ball to the botched punt,
which was there.
We hadn't run all year.
Dropped touchdown pass.
I found those dropped touchdown pass, kind of, I thought, a very fan-like, passionate recollection of a very painful loss.
Yep.
And I don't have a problem with it personally, because I appreciate that. I mean, would you rather have Jeremy Jacobs, who lives in Buffalo and probably doesn't know if the Bruins won or lost last night, or would you rather have the guy who can list you the seven plays that went bad
and
be pissed off about it?
Out of those two things, I would rather have.
I think that's the one thing that has saved Jerry Jones and Dan Snyder, is say what you want about their bad decisions and their egos. You can't deny that they want to win. They try everything in their power to do that.
They just do it wrong.
Yeah. You know, you can argue with their decisions, but they want to win. And that's why I think they get a pass.
But it's interesting you bring those guys up, because those are kind of considered meddlesome or too involved owners.
Well,
is it a slippery slope when you start being more and more?
But Jerry, at least Jerry has had some success.
Sure.
Snyder hasn't, as far as NFL.
No, he hasn't.
Championships or things like that. Jerry's had his success, so he might feel a little bit more inclined.
You could also argue that
he feels
he's a reverse Robert Kraft. He had a success early when Jimmy Johnson was basically running the
show.
Then when he decided to become GM and chief of everything football, they haven't won since.
Yeah,
Robert Kraft admits he made mistakes early on, turned the keys over to Bill Belichick, and has been very successful since.
And in Snyder's defense, since Snyder's been in the league, Washington's probably won as many, if not more, playoff games than Dallas has. Because, as you said, all of Jerry Jones' success came
early.
You know, they have one playoff win in the last, 15, 20 years?
Yep.
Oh, speaking of Jerry, his pregame interview with Jimmy Johnson on Fox was awkward.
Really?
They were making up in public. And
was Jimmy Johnson
out?
Crying?
It looked like he was. He had the Rex Ryan red going on in his eyes, but he looked like he was tearing up. And then on set they had Aikman, Daryl Johnston, Michael Irvin,
Moose,
with Jerry and Jimmy, and they were all discussing what went wrong and why he left, and the two of them were apologizing to each other, and the former players were saying, if you guys had only done this while we were still together, who knows how many more titles we could have won, they were saying. So it was.
What do you mean that's true?
They probably would have won more titles.
Why?
Because Jimmy Johnson,
the guy who succeeded them, was a good coach.
Well, they did win another title.
But he was good.
He got fired. Switzer would have kept winning, right?
Oh, Jesco.
Anthony in Naples is on the Ace Ticket Hotline on 508-543-7482. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, what's up, guys? You know, this is why you guys are the best. Because I honestly, I was calling up, I was cold calling, didn't even hear a part of the show, and I wanted to see if you even touched on the craft, you know, comments about the game. And sure enough, Andy, you bring it up. Amazing.
Thank you.
Amazing radio.
How did you take them? What was your read on the comments?
Yeah, honestly, Andy, me and you think alike, except we don't have the same intestinal fortitude. But
what the hell does that mean?
As in, I don't crap my pants like you do.
Oh, you mean it literally.
Oh. But anyways, honestly, it was great. I think it needed to be said. I think you need to keep, like, Bill, sometimes I feel like, I think sometimes he gets humbled at the end of the season when he doesn't make the Super Bowl. You know, you saw it, especially in 2006, where he was like, all right, I'm wrong. Let me get some wide receivers, you know? And hopefully this is just like a wake-up call to the coaching staff, all of the coaching staff, you know, because I just found it ridiculous how you don't come up with a secondary game plan in case they stop the first one, you know, and I think that's where Kraft was kind of almost like, that's what he was saying in his own words, I believe.
So do you think it's more, because you mentioned kind of two separate things, the first being personnel. The reaction to what they might do personnel-wise in terms of bringing in talent, playmakers, defense, whatever. And then the second aspect you mentioned is actual coaching, game planning, reaction on the field. I actually think it's more the former, that they need playmakers. I think that should have opened their eyes.
Oh,
they need some defensive playmakers.
I agree.
I'm not sure the game plan was flawed, and I kind of agree with Mr. Kraft that you drove right down the field twice. I mean, you go up 14-0 there, game, set, match. Mark Sanchez is not getting in a shootout with you.
And I think you're onto something there, Andy, because I think this organization hates the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
They hates them, you know, from the top down. Maybe not Woody and Robert Kraft, but, you know, Tannenbaum and all those others. This organization hates them, and I'm sure it's mutual. And I think Belichick knew their players have more talent than ours. And scheming to win has been a big part of the Patriots in 2010. I think they overthought this game. I really think that, you know, they were threatened by the talent on the Jets, felt that they had to come up with this, you know, new type of offensive game plan, and it just backfired. And I think they overthink it when it comes to the Jets because of that hate that they have. They, you know, losing to the Jets is not like losing to any other team in the league.
But on the
what did they do in their offensive play calling that you think was so different and they were scared of the Jets' talent?
I think that, I don't know for sure, but I think that, you know, Woodhead was obviously a big part of that game plan. But I think, you know, I don't know how to explain this, but I think that, you know, when they wanted to use Woodhead, it developed too far away from the line of scrimmage. I think that they wanted to spread the Jets out too much. And I think they could have out-physicaled them. If they wanted to. They've done that in the past. And I think there was just too much finesse that went into the offensive game plan.
Well, that's a question I want to, because he mentioned the 06 thing, and some people have argued that the Patriots have gone, because of 06, because Belichick decided I need to beat the Colts, they've become too offense-oriented and passing game-oriented. And is that part of the problem, that emotional reaction to that loss? And does he need an emotional reaction to this loss to go the other way, back to defense, playmakers, physical, football?
And I think you can do both. I think we saw, you know, during the season times when they did, you know, just line up and beat the other guy. And I think a lot of that has to do with Brady because teams are on their heels. But take advantage of that and then start punching them in the mouth after you've spread them out. And I think
say were examples of that?
I think in Pittsburgh they ran the ball very well against a team that stops the run. Now, like I said, maybe that's because they were so geared up to stop Brady. But whatever it is, I think that you can line up and run the ball against teams. I think the Jets are not the Jets that they were last year in terms of defense.
Okay, I'm thinking more defense. I'm thinking scheme
defensively. Defense is a whole different thing.
I think defensively he's tried to scheme a defense together for
about
5 years.
I don't think they lost to the Jets because of their defense. I know they gave up 28 points, but they lost because the offense didn't get a lead and wasn't able to play like they played all season.
But they don't have a defense. That's the issue. They're playing lopsided.
Yeah, I know, but I'm talking about
In my opinion, at some point you need to realize playmakers make plays, and I got to have guys that make plays.
Look, I'm all about building up that defense.
I can't bring Ninkovich in the perfect situation.
To me, this offseason is dedicated to that defense. That's, to me, that's what we need to do.
And that's what hopefully the reaction that Anthony brought up, I hope that's the one you get from Bill. I hope he trades up to get Quinn and signs Tombali and does whatever he needs, just like he went after Stallworth, Kelly Washington, Randy Moss, Adalys Thomas. I want some aggression.
Andy, can I make this point?
Sure.
Because I feel like you two are having the same argument that me and my buddy Rich have all the time. And it's not even an argument, because it's like, Fred, this is I'm with you. As in, like, I think what you're trying to say is that, listen, I concede the fact as in what the defense is. And this team needs to win with a lead. Okay, like, it's not saying that, oh, we don't have to address the defense this year. Obviously, it needs to be addressed. We already know that fact. But as in how this team needs to win, as in this previous season, they need to start out with the lead and play ahead in order to give that defense a chance. And we know that.
But why do you just resign yourself to that fact?
Well, now we know going forward they're going to have to address that. But, you know, circumstances were as they were, and now we have to deal with in 2010 the way it was.
But that's what I'm talking about, the reaction now of the loss.
You're right. We're both, I think Anthony and I are both with you. On 2011.
We were saying it all season,
absolutely.
Though. I think that's what people don't understand. I know what the defense is. You know what I mean?
Right.
And this is how you need to win with this type of defense. I never thought they were a number five or even a – like, I would never even think at the beginning of the season they were going to be a top 10 defense.
Right.
You know, they are what they are.
I agree.
You know, and I just thought the way they had to win, they obviously had to build up to a lead and then play pass. That's how the defense was built. They don't have the pass rush. They don't have those guys in the trenches. They can just bully the other team around. They don't have that.
So go get them.
You know?
Now we got to go get him.
Go get him.
I agree.
That's what I said last week or the 2 weeks before, is that's what needs to be addressed.
But we said it last year. We all said it last year. This defense needs playmakers. This defense needs a pass rush. And they did nothing.
Well,
they removed people from the equation, didn't add them. We didn't even get to see year two of the Derek Burgess best player at that position ever here.
Well.
I mean,
well,
we did it.
Like, obviously, Ty Warren was a surprise to go down. So, you know, you never know how that depth would have worked.
But at
out.
Best, you were staying status quo. You kept Lee Bodden. You kept Vince Wilfork.
Yeah.
You kept those guys. Maybe you got a boost from Chung. And obviously, McCourty was a good addition. But the needs that we still think exist, you didn't really target last offseason.
Well, I think cornerback was one of the needs, and I think they did target that, and they got better. And I think they made some steps, but there's a ways to go on defense.
But we didn't think cornerback was a huge need last offseason.
That's
why there was an uproar when they picked him.
Exactly.
Everybody thought Darius Butler could be a guy. We got
Bodden.
You
re-signed
Bodden. That's decent. We got
Butler.
Will Height. We got
him. Maybe they knew more than we did.
I've said that a million times.
Well, I would
what,
hope they
Bodden,
knew more than
what,
we
then,
did.
That Bodden was going to get hurt?
No, but they knew that maybe Butler wasn't going to be that guy.
Because
then why'd they start him day one?
Maybe they had no choice.
They had to have McCourty. They drafted him.
Well, you didn't. McCourty was unproven at that
point. We're going on the premise they know more than I do.
Right?
I mean.
But Andy's right about, because the
they
uproar.
They thought Butler was their starter.
The uproar with McCourty wasn't over his ability. I know it's easy. That's what everybody says now. But no one was questioning whether or not the guy can play.
Some people were saying he's just an overrated
because
special
teamer. Those people were idiots.
And
smart people were saying you needed a pass rusher more than a pass cover.
No one who follows football or the draft was saying that. Matter of fact, Callahan even said it this week. He goes, but we don't really watch this stuff. We just thought we heard that he was a gunner.
Right.
And that's what. No one was. That's exactly where most draft experts, the Kuipers of the world, they had him in that area. Late first, early second, right around the time he got taken. Andy had him exactly in the spot, or one or two spots off.
Eric, too.
On his big board.
Well, in our mock draft, we had him going in that area.
Yeah, but I was.
On my big board, I had him.
That's what I was talking about.
I did my big board of top 20.
Your foolish big board.
Just in my best of the rest, he was like the fourth guy. So I had him 24th ranked.
But people were wondering why a cornerback when it seemed
Sergio
to be more
Kindle
pressing needs. Not why the player, because we all liked the player.
Mm-hmm.
And I you know, we've done this before. We read the what we posted that night on Patriots.com. And do you remember the draft party? When they got back from the draft party and they were telling us there was booze?
Yeah.
It's because of the position, not the player.
Oh. See, now they're telling me why it wasn't a bad fumble on Sports Science on SportsCenter. He got hit by 595 pounds of body and all these scientific vectors, and it's a good fumble.
Jim in Detroit,
not on the ball, though.
Jim in Detroit about the halftime show says Metallica would solve all of the Super Bowl halftime woes.
Till they catch
appeal
on fire.
To the demographic of the NFL. Next year, if the trend continues, I'm going to expect Taylor Swift and Justin Bieber to be featured with Miley Cyrus singing the anthem. Fergie ruined Sweet Child of Mine, and Usher's Patsy Splits made me want to vomit. Football is a man's sport, and this crap should be discontinued.
We all know the answer. It's Katy Perry next year.
Did you see her on TV last
night? Wardrobe malfunctions aplenty.
But he didn't see it.
I thought it was pretty good. She was,
I'm surprised Fox didn't trot out
Honey.
The cast of Glee. I mean, how
many
commercials did they have for that?
She sang America the Beautiful.
She sang the
Oh, did she? Is that who that is?
Yeah. The girl that sang America the Beautiful is on Glee.
I thought there was like a whole cast of
There players. Is, but there she's is. One of the main ones, I guess.
Oh. But Katy Perry, she looked pretty good last night.
And she would be a good half.
She'd be a good half.
Bring her and somebody else.
Her alone. No,
Katy
her alone.
Perry and, I don't know.
But don't you understand? That's what these people are railing against. Is the pop music that you know you and I like? We're idiots. Okay?
Paul James,
we're not sophisticated. We're not sophisticated
enough.
It's called
pop. It's the short whole for popular. World likes it. The question is, do they admit it?
They don't
or
admit,
not
it.
Admit it. Because everybody in their car by themselves moves a little bit.
No. You have to have Metallica.
You have to analyze the lyrics.
Or
U2
or Tom Petty or Bruce Springsteen.
Dinks like Matt Brooklyn Matt.
He doesn't.
Just call him a dink.
He's not going to perform at halftime.
No, he's not. Could there be further separation between how I feel about Brooklyn Decker and Brooklyn Matt? They are on the opposite ends of the spectrum.
How do you know? Have you ever seen Brooklyn Matt? Maybe you'd like
does
it.
He, no, it's how he feels about
does
him.
Does it move?
Well, to be fair, if he was a hot blonde with nice tatas, I'd probably like him more.
Yeah.
He might be, for all you know.
You know, we're calling him he, but maybe that's just his nick. Her nickname is Matt. Maybe
right.
it's,
May
it's, you know,
Matrina. Matilda.
Matilda.
As soon as everybody gets off, we're going to grab them.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We'll be back Thursday with another special off-season edition of your favorite internet show about the New England Patriots.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.